Please join us in a moment of silence for Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace, Mamba. Kobe!
What's poppin'? It's the Drew and Mike Show.
That's me. You're turning up.
Oh, sorry.
You're cranking
me down. Yeah, because mine wasn't turning up. We start this abortion over again. My headphones are on the other side of the table for some reason. Those damn Friday people. DealsNitty.com Studios, Drew and Mike Show. Here we go. And I'm sure everybody's heard by now the death of Kobe Bryant. And Brandon wanted to cut off that Dave Chappelle going, Kobe, as he threw a condom into a garbage can. Yeah, I thought it was perfect.
No,
well,
that's what happens when you're that great. People say your name when they shoot things.
He's got a he's got a great name to yell, too.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Kobe.
We were just seconds away from seeing the video, and the video is just harrowing.
Oh, the actual footage of the crash.
The actual footage. Wow.
Incredible.
Uh-huh.
Incredible.
That's so oddly random. You know?
What do you mean, random?
Well, just that a celebrity died. And
I know. It's really strange. I made a list of the athletes who have died young for one reason or another. They're all really random. I mean, they are all over the place, like this Kobe thing.
41 years old.
I know. And his daughter, too, is 13. And
And Rick Fox was not the other passenger, as everyone knows. Did you see that was trending?
That Rick Fox was in the cop chopper?
Yeah.
Why Rick Fox?
I don't know.
Random too.
I don't know if his daughter plays in the Mamba basketball league where they were going.
Well, you know,
but they actually, his family actually had to make a comment about it.
How stupid is that? Why are people saying that when they don't know? Obviously,
know.
They don't know. And it trends on Twitter?
Yeah, right. It still is trending.
How ungodly stupid that is. I mean, people that know him, family members may see that.
Yep. Yep. I know.
No need to get a rant on social media. I was intrigued by the coverage of Kobe, though.
Just wild watching it all unfold. Wow.
It's been awful. The lady on CNN was terrible. I mean, I can't tell you how many facts she messed up.
She wasn't prepared for today. She was probably a fill-in for a Sunday, and it was just like, oh, my God, what's happening?
You got to get somebody in there. You got to have a copywriter. Don't tell me CNN can't afford someone on site.
To anchor? To just take a... Where's Anderson Cooper? I mean, if it was Trump, he would have been there by then.
How hard is it to look... Anderson Cooper wouldn't know much about Kobe.
I know, but that's what I mean. Don't they have a... sports person?
I would think so. Yeah, sure. Somebody. I mean, come on. You can go online and find out facts about him to just spew away until they get there.
It's funny you say that because they had Brian, what's his name? Seltzer? Not Setzer, but the...
Wait, the Stray Cats?
No, the bald guy they always have on CNN. He's actually pretty good, but he was going through all his Kobe stuff, and I just went... You just read Wikipedia because it was almost...
Well, that's better than saying, acting like you know what you're talking
stuff
about.
Up, yeah.
I have to say, what was driving me crazy was, first of all, why do people have to act like people are better than they are because they died? I mean, I know you want to be nice, and I want to be nice, too. I thought Kobe was an incredible player. Incredible player.
Phenomenal.
The most clutch player.
Couldn't beat the Pistons, though.
Well, that one year, true. he and Michael Jordan, to me, are above everyone in terms of when you need a big play.
Well, I was telling Brandon, I feel like he gets lost between LeBron and Jordan.
That's kind of true, I think.
The guy did draw, 81 against the Raptors that one? Was it the Raptors he dropped 81 against?
He dropped 61 because Spike Lee said something to him, too. Spike Lee brought that up in the conversation after he died, which is what people drive me crazy making it about them.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, Gary,
you should see the man on the street in LA, which I was watching a lot of Fox 11's coverage.
And the initial coverage of them. That's what CNN and like the big news stations were doing, is in between trying to get facts and learning information, it was, let's go to Twitter and see what this person and this person and this person
said. Because they have nothing else to do. There's no news and people, I mean, I wanted to consume
it. Just get back to it. I mean, honestly, to be total idiots, They had Gary Payton. They got him on the phone. That was Gary Payton. Is that somebody you really associate with Kobe a lot?
Oh, he sat on the bench against the Pistons when they lost. Remember, he went there to get a ring, and they didn't get it?
Yes, Gary Payton and Malone.
Malone, yeah.
Well, Gary Payton says that Kobe watched his kids for him. And I was thinking, is that real? Because, first of all, okay, if he did, that's incredible. But I find that hard to believe that Kobe babysat his kids. Kobe?
He probably watched highlights with them.
Well, I think it would be bad on Gary Payton's part to even ask Kobe Bryant to watch his kids. He's a busy guy.
Gary Payton can't afford a nanny or a babysitter.
I mean, if Gary Payton is asked to watch Kobe Bryant's kids, I understand that, but
well,
not the other way around.
That, I think that's you can't even.
I want a forensic accountant to find out if he ever babysat Gary Payton's kids. I want some facts. I realize he died. I want good things to be said about him. You know, that they had the big announcement and the Spurs ran out the 24-second
clock.
Oh, that
was cool. The Spurs and the and the Raptors, both, you know, 24, because that's what Kobe wore. That was cool.
You're so stuck on what number people wore.
I know. Well, it works well with the 24-second clock. Yes.
I saw some tweets saying that every team needs to retire 24.
Well, what about number 8? Oh. Also wore 8.
Well, what about Michael Jordan? Then you're going to retire 23, too?
Right.
Yeah.
Or if he dies, lives a normal life and dies, then he won't retire his number? Because nobody will really remember him too well?
Can we get the best eulogy out of the way?
Hey, Twitter.
Oh, juice, juice.
Hey, Twitter world, it's a sad day. Just heard the news about Kobe Bryant. Life doesn't promise us tomorrow, doesn't promise us anything.
Yeah, Nicole knows that.
Live for the day.
And Ron Goldman.
Great guy.
I don't think
terrific
death
family
is really a good thing for him
no
to talk about.
God bless. Take care.
Thank you, oh great master, for sharing your wisdom.
What is he talking about?
He has
about?
No idea how inappropriate that is.
No. Well, he in his mind, he didn't kill anybody.
Oh, come on. And then they had...
they've now named the other person in the crash that was killed.
Yeah.
Orange Coast College baseball coach.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Well, whatever. Sorry. No, nobody. This person is not going to be cared about. I mean, his family,
I'm sorry for your family
and all that. Well, but if Kobe wasn't in the thing, it wouldn't even be mentioned.
You're right.
They'd be like, yeah, chopper crash, whatever.
He's probably pumped to ride on that chopper, too.
Oh,
that sucks.
Yeah, he loved his choppers.
Oh, Kobe?
Yeah.
He talked about them all the time, that Real Sports on HBO, where he met Andrea Kramer.
I've always thought choppers were something you didn't really want to do unless you had to.
Oh, I love them. I'd get on one right now.
Brian has only 24 more games to play, and he's enjoying each one. It helps that he can get to work in downtown Los Angeles, not on the city's famously clogged freeways, but above them. Just 13 minutes after leaving home, the Staples Center is in sight. As he circles a rooftop helipad just a few blocks from the arena, it turns out 20 historic years in the NBA has its privileges.
Nice commute.
Thank you.
How's the traffic?
What traffic?
Brian says without the helicopter, there's no way he could see his family, build his new media company, and preserve a body that has played more NBA minutes than all but 5 players in history.
So weird.
You know, it's interesting, depending on who you are. For example, when Don Imus died, you know, it was all about his nappy-headed hose thing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he trended on Twitter in the worst, I mean, just the ugliest comments, which I think is shitty. Kobe, there's something that people could, you know, focus on, but they won't.
No.
Why? No. What's the difference between Don Imus and Kobe?
Age. Age. Imus did have a bunch of them, too, other examples, but age, I think. I think this is a surprise and it's tragic.
Well, but Don Imus did not do what.
No,
Kobe
no, no, no,
did.
I know.
And dying in a helicopter crash that was caught on tape is different than succumbing to an illness at an old age. So.
41. And.
But why does that change how you talk about the person? You know, L. Brooks Patterson. I mean, there were just the most horrible things said about him when he died. Right when he died. Why? And I realize he was 81. Kobe's 41. I can think of someone young that died where the same thing happened. They're just not in the tip of my tongue. But
I asked Julie. I'm like, do you know who Kobe Bryant is? Because that doesn't really enter her realm. You know, so
she probably knows his name. I bet.
She goes, yeah, And I said, well, he died today. She goes, didn't he buy his wife a bunch of jewelry after he cheated on her? I said, yep. Well, were they still married?
That's her realm.
Four daughters. I don't know. Daughter. I mean, that's who you feel bad for. The daughter didn't do anything.
Spike Lee was, well, no, and honestly, Kobe Bryant was a fan. I mean, he really was an incredible guy. And
do you think of the Grammys tonight?
I don't think there are very many people, Don Imus included, L. Brooks Patterson included, Michael Jackson included, who didn't screw up. Well, I don't know. I hate putting Michael Jackson there. I'm going to leave him out. But,
yeah.
I mean, everybody screws up. When you die, I think you deserve a little.
Nobody's
just
perfect.
Can somebody give your family a break for a couple days?
Yeah.
Because they're probably reading a lot of stuff. As I think they're giving him a break. I'm not saying that.
Unless you're Don Imus or Barbara Bush. Didn't she get a bunch of crap after
Well,
she
that
died?
One professor at Fresno State, who's still working there, by the way.
He's got tenure.
I'm sorry. I don't understand what is so airtight about tenure. I don't get it.
I got to. Do you think the Grammys tonight will. Maybe do a collection of his best rap songs.
They're going to do something with Kobe.
Do people remember
I
that?
I guarantee you there will be plenty about Kobe.
Did you know he had a music career of sorts? Like he actually released a few CDs?
I remember that, but yeah. I don't know if it was any good.
No, it wasn't.
Well, this is one of those moments, like, where were you when JFK died? This is one of those moments. Where were you when you heard about Kobe?
It's a big deal. I don't think it's JFK quite. But it's certainly a big deal.
The police are going to do a press conference here. I don't know what else they can add that we don't know. But the best press conference of the day was the Lower Marion High School.
I saw that.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it's the high school he went to, right?
Yeah, but what was the point of that press conference?
That he went to the high school because nobody there knows him now.
I know the lady said, because she was not prepared to take questions afterwards, and people just started firing questions.
Why would they be asking her questions?
Because she's the one they carted out there. I think they thought.
What can she add, though? She didn't play with him. She doesn't know him. He hasn't been at that school in 24 years.
I think they thought that the coach was going to comment, because his coach is still the coach there. But she said
he should have had the press conference.
That Coach Downer.
Shouldn't that have been the person having the press conference?
She said he couldn't. So then they start firing questions at her.
She shouldn't. She should just say, I don't know Kobe Bryant.
She said she doesn't know him. Couldn't even tell you the last time he was at Lower Marion. Like, why are we having this press conference? And then she invited everyone to come in and take pictures of their Kobe memorabilia.
Well, that makes sense.
Didn't he sue his mom to get some?
Yeah, he did.
Sorry. Too soon.
Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your sweetheart in the mood with a gift from Lover's Lane. Three ways to shop for all your bedroom essentials. Loverslane.com, 35 retail locations. The all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff. Even Cupid can't get his hands on. Featuring quality sex toys. Fun and exciting things for couples. Sex Drive also has an incredible selection of erotic apparel and naughty gift ideas and some great pictures to look at. Perfect for Valentine's. Shop early. Visit sexdrive.com. Powered by Lover's Lane. Anything for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
We call Stan.
Of course we can call Stan.
Anybody you want to call to eulogize Kobe?
Stan?
No, I don't know.
Let me think about that. Anyway, Hall Financial.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
Some Kobe! People... Some people are calling for Kobe to be canceled. It's a little late, but because Spike Lee brought up that the last picture of him as a basketball player is him walking out of the Staples Center after his last game with holding one daughter and holding the other daughter's hands while singing Thriller.
Yeah.
Thinking, Thriller? It's Michael Jackson.
And on the
canceled!
On the HBO Real Sports, he talks about the time after he got to L.A. when he was struggling in the beginning because everyone was hating on him. And Michael called him up and told him, just be you. Just do your thing. Be strong.
Yeah.
That's true.
How awkward was that conversation for Kobe?
Think, Michael. Just you keep putting that ball in the basket. Well, remember, he came straight out of high school, so maybe Michael thought he was younger. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember when he first played.
It was a big deal.
He was not ready.
No.
But he got ready real fast. He got real good.
I don't know.
Real
I love
fast.
Watching the dude play.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
So good.
Especially at crunch time. If you're paying more than 4% on your mortgage or you have lingering high interest rate credit card debt, Hall Financial, give them a shot. Maybe they can roll it up into one ball and save you some money, lower your interest rate, lower your payments for the next 20, 25, 15, 10 years, maybe change it to a 15-year model. Whatever you want to do, Hall Financial might be able to save you money in the long haul. It's what so many people do. Go to drewandmike.hallfg or go to davidhallmortgage.com. You can also click the link on our website or call 248-308-5000. I think that's the most confusing thing about Hall Financial is there's so many ways to reach them so quickly. Mm-hmm. They've got over 1,000 five-star ratings, and they're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435. Some of the other guys, man, it's a long list. I had to keep searching because I'm like, God, I know there's people missing from this list. But the ones, I'm trying to think of the ones that were the most shocking. This probably tops the list. He is 41 years old, really, and a busy
and
guy,
still,
too.
I was going to say, we just saw an interview with him like a week ago, where he was talking about, remember when I was telling you about it, the women that he thought he could play in the NBA right now? Well, I'm just saying, whatever the subject matter is. But I mean, he was out there and about.
Why aren't they playing in the NBA then? Well, why wouldn't they play if they can?
That's crazy.
Okay.
The point being, he was very active and out and about and talking to people.
Oh, absolutely. He won a Grammy. Although he almost was.
An Oscar. Didn't he win an Oscar?
Oscar.
An Oscar, yeah.
Wasn't he told maybe they shouldn't accept it or they shouldn't give it to him because it was right in the middle of Me Too at that time?
Nothing stops Black Mamba, man.
You know, somebody sent me an email and they were suggesting that I was not in favor of Me Too. And it's not that I'm not in favor of Me Too. I'm in favor of fairness. And I thought some of it got crazy. I mean, if you're talking about Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Or Cuba Gooding. What, Cuba Gooding has 22 accusers.
Yeah.
He's obviously someone.
Wait, who wouldn't be in favor of Me Too? It's the cancellation of people.
Yeah, and also the fact that somebody can say they had a date where this happened, and the other person doesn't get to respond. You just go, oh, get rid of him. He's terrible. It's just the way it's done. And just calling people out on social media. This is another social media disease. That's not how this is supposed to work.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because that's happening with someone in regarding the Kobe Bryant story.
How's that?
Someone's about to get canceled. It's not a Me Too, but it's a cancellation via social media.
Oh, you mean the girl that mispronounced the name?
Allison Morris on MSNBC.
In
her offense, she's killing time and she barely doesn't follow basketball.
We'll go ahead and play the audio.
Yeah, it seems like he was just the kind of athlete, the kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers community. If I could ask you to stay with us, we're going to go to Bill Roden. He's joining me by phone. That's Bill.
Sorry. Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
That is just an amazing flub.
I just don't believe she meant to say that. I just don't believe it.
Before you can even find out, she's already apologized. And she was trying to say Knicks. Thinking he played for the New York Knicks and changed it to Lakers in the flow, and it just got
off. Perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers community.
Wait, time out. That would be Knickers. Not
true. You're right.
But
or Nakers.
I just can't believe she wanted to say that. Now, Brandon, what's...
I think she did.
A star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers.
The idea that she's sitting there going, finally. So, finally, I can drop the N-word.
I was standing across the room when Mark first played it, and I said, what's the big deal? She said, Nakers, you know, N-A-K-E-R-S.
You thought she said Nakers?
Well, that's what I thought at first. That's what I asked Mark, and then he goes, no, listen again, and I listen. And I was
you got to have about the least racist mind in the world.
Well, he doesn't hear color.
But then I hop on Twitter, and I see that she's apologized, and that's what she said. She said, so I kind of heard what she initially said.
See, you guys told me she said the other thing first, so that's the first thing I thought of. Now, what are people saying underneath her Twitter? There's got to be comments galore.
Can you pull it up, Brandon?
Yeah.
You had it up earlier. they want her canceled.
I predict she's not canceled because she's a female.
Ooh.
I think she's going to get a break because it's going to be, she doesn't know team's names, so she just inserted, you know. Well, I don't know why she inserted that.
While he's looking for that, you want another news update on it? Because the press conference just concluded 9 people on board, no survivors.
Oh, okay.
And I think people keep forgetting.
Good reporting on that. It's been 5 people for how many hours?
I know. And not only that, people were like, all his daughters were on with him. And I'm sitting there going, wait, is that because he has 4 daughters and him? That's 5. People forget about the pilot. Don't they always forget about the pilot? Nice death math.
Twitter is such an abortion.
Well,
oh
it's because
God.
It's got to get it first. Got to get it
why,
first.
Why
it
would
first,
people start mentioning a person's name? You don't know. You don't know. You didn't know. Why did you do that? Everyone should not have a voice. I say it again.
Yeah, but those I'm talking about news organizations.
That's even more ridiculous. They should be sued or they should be they should just take a week off from covering news. Yeah. That's I mean to declare someone dead in a helicopter crash, they don't know.
Yeah.
They can't have a decent source on that.
I guess
they can't have two sources. Two people can't get that wrong.
And to your point, I guess the sheriff just ripped TMZ about that.
Did TMZ say he was on TMZ got that wrong?
Yeah. Well, I think just ripped them. Here's the chief. You want to hear him?
Not really. Okay, well, I'd put him on. Maybe he'll say something. I don't know. I have a feeling this will be old news tomorrow.
Maybe he'll say the N-word.
Aircraft accidents, however, when there's a fatality, then it switches to the National Transportation Safety Bureau, the NTSB, and the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA. The FAA is already on scene.
Okay.
And assisting.
I don't think you can tell us anything.
So Allison Morris did take to Twitter and said, earlier today, while reporting on the tragic news of Kobe Bryant's passing, I unfortunately stuttered on air, combining the names of the Knicks and the Lakers to say Nakers. Please know I did not and would never use a racist term. I apologize for the confusion this caused. And then, yeah, the comments are funny because, like, the African-American populace is saying, bye, girl, you're gone. And then the white people are saying, you're fine,
don't worry about it. Let me ask you this. Is there some pleasure in just going, canceled? Because it is like a power, in a way.
Maybe.
To just say, cancel that person.
Well, it's just easy. You know, like just type it up.
The two people on Martin Luther King Day that screwed up his name.
Yeah.
Well, two out of many that made the same mistake, fired. And the NAACP couldn't have seemed more delighted to say, we don't care if it's a flub. He's gone. He needs to go to awareness class. You know, the station needs to do some soul searching. It's like, are you kidding me? It just seemed like, almost like, you know, this is what we can do now, so we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And well, in her
easy.
Case, so
it's easy, and there's no repercussions for them.
Who is no? Who is she? By the way, is she someone? Do we know anything about her? Does she have a history?
She's the lady that had the flub when talking about Kobe Bryant. No, if she dies in a helicopter crash today, that's what people are going to remember about her.
Yeah, she does NBC News Now during the weekend.
Whatever that is,
MSNBC during the weekend.
Okay.
She's also a runner, according to her Twitter.
Does she have any racist past? Any tweets that we can dig up?
I'm sure someone's doing that work right now. They're doing God's work.
You know they are.
Jesus.
It's so stupid. Oh, man. Okay, so my list. First of all, I don't know. The first one that came to my mind was Len Bias.
Yeah.
Because
Oh, man. He was just drafted.
If you're probably, I don't know, I say if you're 40 or older, that one was just huge.
Yeah,
just drafted number one.
Is that 86?
84? Yeah, 86 sounds right. 86 about right.
I remember it.
I remember the 30 for 30, which was great.
Yeah.
Hank Gathers with Loyola Marymount?
Yeah.
He's averaging like, 40 points a game or something?
They beat Michigan in the tournament.
That's right. The year after they won it. The year after Fisher, I think it was.
Yeah, and Bo Kimble shooting every free throw with Justin.
You're in the cult, bro! That was pretty cool.
Just dropping bloops now.
Thurman Munson.
Yeah, and the play-by-play of his death.
Oh, I know.
That might be the most horrific death I've ever heard of, because he was paralyzed.
Yeah, he couldn't move.
And
they couldn't get him out, but it seemed that he could not move. And his neck was broken, but they didn't say he was paralyzed. Let's see. Reggie White, the football player.
Yeah.
He was 43.
Yeah.
And then what about Jerome Brown with the Eagles, who was playing? He was in the 27 club, I think. 27 club.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. I remember, but Jerome Brown? Don't really remember it. I remember him.
He was a badass defensive lineman for the Eagles, mm-hmm. and he was in a car accident.
Yeah. 92.
And then Chuck Hughes with the Lions against the Bears in 71. I remember that. Butkus and Buffon, I think, sandwiched him, and he never got up.
Were you watching that game?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a kid. I watched all the Bear games.
Why won't he get up? Is that what you were doing?
It was confusing, I have to admit. I was like 10 years old, 11 years old.
How did they handle it on TV?
They were just quick to say, it has nothing to do with football. He just, he died anyway. He was going to die. It just so happened Butkus and Buffon were mauling him exactly when he died. It's crazy.
What are the odds?
The Cleveland Indians hitting the dock.
Yeah, Bobby Ojeda got scalped.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that Alex Fernandez.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even write that one down.
Jose Fernandez?
Or Jose, thank you.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Hitting that jetty in the boat.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think cocaine.
Nick Adenhart with the Angels. And then there's, who's the guy?
Well, recently. Trevor Skaggs. Wasn't it Skaggs?
Yeah.
Just passed.
Yeah. And that was.
He was on Brandon's fantasy team.
Tyler Skaggs.
Tyler Skaggs. Got him in everyone's name wrong today.
Fantasy team.
He was.
Pat Tillman, the football player who served on after 9/11.
Wow, boy, where he fed a bunch of lies with that one, huh?
Friendly fire, yeah. Joe Delaney of the Chiefs, who drowned trying to save some kids. He couldn't swim.
Oh, yeah, God.
And then how about this one? Andres Escobar, who scored a goal against his own team in the World Cup and was shot and murdered days later in Colombia.
Nice fans.
Lyman Bostock of the Minnesota Twins in 78 was with a friend who was with a couple of females, one of whom was being stalked by her soon-to-be ex-husband. And Lyman was in the back seat sitting next to his soon-to-be ex-wife, and he thought Lyman was with her. He was just crazy jealous, just loony stalker.
Wow.
And he shot. He said he was trying to shoot her. Like, hey, I was trying to shoot her. I'm not guilty.
What?
But they believe he was shooting Lyman because they thought he was with his
Well, so then I think of, like, Junior Seau shooting himself. That's pretty surprising.
Yeah.
How dare we not remember
the Bears player too, the Bears defensive back.
Dave Duerson.
Yeah, Dave Duerson.
How about Dale Earnhardt?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little older, but he was still
49,
racing.
I think.
Yeah.
Lou Gehrig was 37 when he got ALS. Reggie Lewis, the basketball player, a heart attack on the court, practicing. Oof. 93. Roberto Clemente, New Year's Eve 72.
Man.
He was on a relief mission in Nicaragua. And his plane crashed. Never found his body. Daryl Kyle had a heart attack, 33-year-old pitcher. Steve Prefontaine, the runner, was in a car accident.
Five movies about it.
73,
no, I think.
He was also the big Nike guy. He was like the first Nike athlete.
In Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Pelle Lindbergh, drunk driving, the goalie for the Flyers.
When was that?
That was... I want to say that was 90s, maybe?
That reminds
26,
me
it might have been 80s.
When Billy, God, I can't remember anything.
Billy Martin?
Name. Yeah,
Billy slid Martin. Into home? Art Fowler was driving, though.
He was in a ditch on his house.
He was. Ben Pick, Brian Piccolo.
Oh, boy, yeah.
He's the 27 club, I think, was he? Pick?
Somewhere
on there.
Probably with those mashed potatoes.
Here's a few good ones. Payne Stewart.
A few good ones. Oh, the frozen flight.
Oh, my God. Is that freaky?
Yeah.
That's the freakiest one. That bar none. Payne Stewart was in a plane that lost...
pressurization.
Yeah, pressurization.
No broke.
And so they're like, Payne Stewart's plane is... it's missing. It's out of range. I don't know what's going on. And then they locate the plane. It's like way out of where it's supposed to be. And they got to send a jet up there right alongside it. And they're like, oh, all the windows are frozen and everybody's asleep. It's crazy.
Ugh.
What's he doing up there?
I know. It's so
awful.
That plane finally crashed, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In the middle of nowhere. Thankfully.
How come they can't put a tow thing on a plane? I mean, if they can refuel in midair, why can't they put a tow thing on them?
It might mess up the balance of the other plane that's flying.
Well, how do they do the refueling in midair? They do.
Yeah.
Just saying.
The Marshall football team.
That's right.
We got a movie out of it.
Yeah?
With McConaughey.
There was Ken Caminiti.
Yeah.
Speedball. Ernie Davis got leukemia after winning the Heisman at Syracuse. The great combination running backs hitter. I got to tell you, I read the weirdest one today that I just did not know. It's before my time, of course. In 1951, this great female tennis player, maybe the best ever, came along named Maureen Conley. She won the U.S. championship at age 16. At 18, she won the Grand Slam.
Really?
At 18.
I like play tennis, but I'm not good in it.
She's not even a pro. She's not a pro yet. She's not making money for this. At 19, she won Wimbledon for the third year in a row. She was just about to turn pro, and she's riding a horse, and a cement truck came along and freaked the horse out. And the horse somehow, I know it's a weird story, horse somehow, like, crashed into the cement truck and her leg got destroyed. So she was not able to play tennis again. She recovered, but then she, by the way, they sued the cement truck company. Her settlement was $95,000.
Boy.
It was 1954, which was a lot of money then. And then she went on, and I guess she was doing great things, but she got ovarian cancer at 34 and died. Maureen Conley.
Lucky life.
Shit story that.
Here's another one, and I wonder, I can't remember how he was eulogized, but remember Chris Henry from the Cincinnati Bengals? He got in a fight with his wife, jumped on the back of the pickup truck, fell off, hit his head.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was
not a bad way to go, though.
He was in a lot of...
Sorry.
Not a great way to go either. Too soon. It was just 11 years ago. But he was not a great guy. He was in a lot of legal trouble.
So no, like, he was not a great guy at all.
In other words, if Antonio Brown, God forbid something happened to Antonio Brown right now, how would he be eulogized?
I don't know. You know, the ABNN was so busy on Friday and Saturday. I mean, I was getting calls nonstop. A lot of overtime had to be approved.
Yeah.
He was...
Got to have those sources on the ground.
Jailed, and he was in a suicide vest in court, which was, I guess, standard for his charge, which is a felony, which you get life for, which is not going to get life. He stole from the truck. He assaulted the driver. He stole the keys, got in the truck, destroyed furniture that someone else owned. Anyway, he walks out in this weird tuxedo jacket with a light blue, with a green shirt and a white tie. It's like, what?
He dressed up for court.
Then he ran. He just starts sprinting away from the media, only to find out that he's running the wrong way, and he has to come back the other way to get his car.
Form look? Did he look good? Should we sign him?
He looked good. He did. He looked like he's in good shape. And he's got to wear a tether. He's got to get drug and alcohol testing and mental health testing, which... I get the feeling a lot of people are starting to say that there's more going on. I mean, CTE, people just want to go, oh, it's CTE. Yeah. It sounds like it might be something else.
How common is CTE in wide receivers, too? It's usually.
Well, people are even pointing out the hit. It was when he got hit by some famous hit.
CTE is not one hit.
I know. Just saying what people are saying. That's why we need voices to be taken away from people. All the Rick Fox people, they need to lose their voices. No more voice for you. No more news for you.
I think this is a great way to eulogize Kobe, by the way. This right here, this piece of audio.
Kobe. Kobe.
Couldn't they insert the...
Kobe.
Chappelle?
Oh, Kobe, I can do it.
Kobe Bryant. Kobe.
Kobe. Kobe.
Kobe.
Kobe. Kobe.
I love that.
Kobe Bryant. He's the man. He's got it going on. He's better than Wade. He's better than LeBron. He drives to the rim. He knows how to attack. He can win it all without Shaq. He's Kobe. Kobe.
Matt Farley. Always. Does he ever not have a song about someone?
Not only does he not only have a song about Kobe, he has four of them about Kobe.
Excellent. We can spread them out over the...
Well, the other ones don't make sense, but this is just a generic Kobe.
It's about Kobe.
I think he's getting a bunch of streams today.
Oh, Matt is? Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, another athlete that died in his prime. Remember Derek Thomas?
Oh.
Had a car accident.
Oh, that's right.
So awesome.
Just that made me think of another one.
Paralyzed.
The Chiefs guy that killed his wife and then went to the stadium and killed himself.
Oh God.
It was so weird. Wasn't it right before a playoff game or something?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Well, Sean Taylor, too. Didn't we talk?
Sean Taylor and the Denver Broncos guy.
Yeah. Who was shot accidentally.
I get to mix up with Sean Taylor all the time because those happen close together, right?
How about giving some love to Andre the Giant?
Anybody want to feel it?
He was only 46.
I know, but he weighed 9,000 pounds.
He was totally healthy.
Here's another one I just found. Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Professional wrestler.
Well, I mean, if you want to bring wrestling into it, you have to start Owen Hart.
Sure.
And
there's an LPGA chick that put a bag over her head and killed herself. I looked her up, though. She didn't win any tournaments.
Eddie Guerrero. I mean, there's been a million wrestlers.
Is it Nancy Lopez?
No.
That's the only one I know.
Jan Stevenson was hot. She was a centerfold, wasn't she?
No, I never
Mass brought her up. I was like, wow, Jan Stevenson.
But remember Benoit, didn't he kill his whole family?
Yeah, he killed his wife and his son. And then they didn't know that he did it, and so they, you know, the WWE gave him a huge memoriam night.
Oh.
And then they found out, and they were like, "Oh shit!"
Well, Jose Fernandez, they put up
how ridiculous is that?
Isn't there a statue for Jose Fernandez, the Marlins pitcher?
Because the results didn't come back for what they built the statue that fast.
Oh,
Can we get them in touch with the RoboCop people who took how long to build a statue?
Well, like 4 years. And don't forget,
more than that.
Here's the other one. Remember Lions defensive end Corey Smith and the other Tampa Bay play?
Oh, God, that's
just
so
the worst.
Awful.
The worst story.
So
just
bad.
Sad.
Northwestern Tech wants you to know they are the heating and cooling school in Southfield, and HVAC is what they teach. The program's 10 and a half months. It's you have a skill, you have a trade, you have work. Within a year, people are making $40,000 to $50,000. Within 5 years, you may be making double that. Quite a few are. I mean, a lot. And a lot of people start their own businesses, too, with mixed success, but a lot of success there. It's a career. And they, of course, work with all the companies that do this and try to place people. Some people are placed before they're even done. It's the HVAC school that works. Next class starts, it's almost January 27th, isn't it?
Yep, tomorrow.
Yep, hurry up.
Right now.
NorthwesternTech.edu, because there's more classes starting not too long after that.
And they also have three shifts. So if you hear this in the morning, they have a night shift. Hurry up and get over there.
Yeah, 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. NorthwesternTech.edu for information. We'll be talking about the Grammys tomorrow, but I was intrigued by...
Which, interesting, because it's at the Staples Center, which just has a bunch of Laker fans around it right now because of Kobe's passing.
There's probably a bunch of famous people going, oh my God, it's taking forever to get in here.
You're probably right, Brandon.
People need to go home.
Not realizing anything about the sports world.
Well, out there, I think people know.
He transcended it, yeah.
They should ask Jack Nicholson. He'll explain it to them. Jack wouldn't be at the Grammys, but anyway, yeah, that is weird. People don't know what to do, and they'll just gather in one place. Yeah. You know, with Michael Jackson, he did the same thing, remember, at the hospital? Well, when the Red Wings guys.
Yeah.
There were all those people at the hospital, and that one guy wouldn't leave. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
It was weird.
Hey, Drew, everybody grieves differently.
No, I know. And I want to go get a life to those people, but they're just gigantic fans, and they go somewhere, and they know all the people there because they have Kobe Bryant in common, and it's amazing. I mean, I've got my Beatles friends. Yeah. I've got my Cubs friends. I mean, it's a big bond. And
community.
So, it's very funny how that works, and the older I get, the more I realize how true it is.
I never knew you were such a Beatles fan.
Thankfully, MSNBC has brought in their big reporter to cover this in Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton? What's his connection to Kobe Bryant?
Nothing. He gets paid by MSNBC.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
The coverage is just so bad. It's just bad around.
Well, honestly, I think this guy, beyond talking about his basketball career, is there really that much to talk about? And that's not knocking him. That's the thing he did, and he did it so well. And so I'd be running highlight clips, you know, maybe repeat a game 7 or something if you really, you know, want to celebrate this guy. Or
I'm surprised they're not just showing the footage over and over and over and over.
Highlight though.
Are they showing that?
I haven't seen it on TV at all. It's just on Twitter, one person that recorded
it. It's brutal because it's in a complete tailspin.
So they're not going to show it on the news. Everyone's going to watch it online, but they won't show it on TV?
I predict they will show it on the news once they verify it, but they'll cut it off right before it crashes, as if that makes it any better, because they have no problem showing, you know, the aftermath of it just burnt out.
I tend to be angry when they do that because I feel like, you watched it, but you're telling me that I can't handle it. Well, so you showed me everything but the crash. So, which is almost as bad, and then you watched. I know you watched it.
Aren't they just sending everybody to the internet to watch it?
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, they're getting clicks, I guess. Because the Grammys are tonight, I'm just thinking about awards, and you know, we had the SAG Awards and the Golden Globes. I noticed that Hustlers is on my on demand.
Oh yeah,
J Lo movie, and she was robbed. she should have been nominated, but she's wait. Hispanic?
Puerto Rican, yeah.
Puerto Rican. So people didn't vote for her because they wanted white women to be nominated. And I haven't seen all the movies, so I hate acting like an expert, but the performance is just, it's kind of a hokey movie. It's about strippers.
Yeah.
And it was a fun movie to watch, and J-Lo's good because J-Lo's always good. Mm-hmm. But J-Lo's kind of J-Lo for the most part, although she's playing a 50-year-old stripper. I mean, it's... Well, I mean, she's not playing a 50-year-old stripper in the movie. She's like a stripper mentor.
Yeah, you like your little stripper whore? You like her?
And she looks fantastic.
So would you...
She always does.
You do think she was Robin after watching?
I don't think I would... Okay, I'll put it this way. If I watched the movie, I don't think I would say afterwards, that's an Oscar-nominated performance.
Jennifer Lopez.
Well, if it wasn't Jennifer Lopez, I don't think people would be talking about it at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, you know, to compare it to Renee Zellweger, who's, you know, privileged and white and has all the advantages.
Who the fuck is Renee Zellweger?
We should subtract points to white women in that category because they have all the advantages. I don't know. Honestly, I thought she was really good. I thought she was fantastic. Now, that's a movie I could watch. She's playing Judy Garland, and I could say, she's damn good.
So Charlize Theron was nominated, too, as Megyn Kelly, which everyone, even if you haven't seen the movie, you've seen her transformation.
Well, people say she looks exactly like her. I haven't seen the movie to say that she's just like her.
She sounds like her.
This is Kelly.
ScarJo from Marriage Story.
She was good. I thought she was good. Because I didn't like her.
Yeah.
And, like, when you take a chick that hot and you make her unlikable somehow because she's acting like such a mom... like bummer wife,
mm-hmm.
and it like halfway through the movie, I'm like, I didn't even like looking at her anymore.
ScarJo is also nominated for Jojo Rabbit, which if you look at those two movies, it's like, wow, that chick really is a good actress. Jojo Rabbit, by the way, great movie, loved it.
I really like ScarJo in Match Play.
Oh yeah, but it's Woody Allen, so you're not allowed to watch it anymore.
And by the way, by the end of that movie, oh yeah, that's right, I just watched it too. Oops.
Ooh, you're canceled. Honestly, you're not allowed to like Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. Oh, that guy is 85 pounds of pure sex.
By the end of that movie, I'm kind of thinking that I want to happen to her what happens to her because she's just making me crazy. And I'm not even in the movie.
Sign of a great actress.
Yeah, give her credit. And then along the lines of, you know, Oscars cheating J-Lo, the first thing I read this morning was the story about Diddy's speech before.
Oh yeah.
First of all, he's getting a Grammy. It's like an Icon Grammy or a Lifetime thing. And I don't know, when you're getting a Grammy, is that the time to talk about how racist the Grammys are, how they don't respect black people and they don't respect hip hop? And so I'm watching this and you know, we hear this. Why does this come up every year? And I remember like 3 or 4 years ago, I thought, God, it seems like a lot of black people win Grammys. And so I looked up, you know, the all-time winners. And number one, Quincy Jones. Number three is Stevie Wonder. And then you go down the top 10 and there's like Jay-Z and Beyonce are seventh and eighth, which I both belong that.
Sure.
I don't want
to get yelled at by Diddy.
I don't think they've been cheated. Let's put it that way. Kanye is way up there. Now, Kanye, I would almost think he might be higher than one or both of them. But anyway, and Diddy has won 3 Grammys. Led Zeppelin's never won a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
The Who have never won a Grammy. The Rolling Stones have never won a Grammy. The Grammys are snobby. And honestly, if hip-hop has a problem with the Grammys, first of all, the Grammys are always behind the times. And second of all, I would say certainly like heavy metal has been screwed a lot more than anything. Mm-hmm. They get a category and they don't even know who to put in it. They give the first one to Jethro Tull. Remember that?
Yes.
They don't even air that one. That one's the pre-show.
No. You're talking about Jethro Tull like 1985.
It was 88, I think.
88, okay.
And
it beat Metallica.
But I think the problem for hip hop is the Grammys are big on musicality. It's about music. It's not about a social movement or you know, the flavor of the decade or the flavor of the last 2 decades or however long it is. It's very much about music and musicality and writing. It's I don't know. I just thought the argument was so bad, and it went on for 50 minutes.
That's what I was going to say. The biggest problem is how long he was up there for.
And I look at the, you know, they said, oh, look at the people standing, you know, and who's standing cheering, you know, wildly in front? Beyonce and Jay-Z, who've won 43 Grammys between them. Really? And guess who else is standing up cheering wildly? Quincy Jones, who's won the most Grammys. So
is this just because of all the stuff that's been going on this week with the Grammys? It's like, is this the time to capitalize? Is that why?
But why are you turning it into that? I mean, if they're playing favorites, no, that's terrible because they want people to perform or whatever.
Yeah.
Which
of course
bullshit.
They do because it's about the TV show.
Yeah, it's about the ratings, which are not good, you know, are going down.
Yes. So they need more popular acts.
By the way, is this, you know, let's just leave the Lifetime Grammys aside, which seems to defeat the point. To complain this year, Lizzo has 8 nominations. Lizzo is black.
And a woman.
And talented. I mean, I don't think anybody's trying to take anything away from her. But honest to God, it's like just, I feel like when this happens, which is so often, it just it takes away from real problems.
Sure. Well, and the idea, too, that they need this justification of their art from the Grammys.
Not to mention, they vote.
Look at your life, my man. You're doing fine.
It's the award winners that vote. It's this very small group of people. Why is it?
Now, did you see the news about the Grammy show and that Taylor Swift canceled her performance?
Is that because she's not allowed to sing her song?
I think it's over the whole sexism, Grammys, this whole all the stuff that happened this past week with the you know,
shouldn't someone
rigged.
Well, Taylor Swift, I mean, she always ends up getting screwed.
Pain in the ass.
I think so, too. Anyway, the albums that Diddy complains about, he brings up Michael Jackson should have won for Off the Wall. He won 8 Grammys 4 years later when he was carrying Manuel Lewis around.
Yes.
Yeah. He was on his date with Brooke Shields. Beard. Prince,
Was it even nominated Off the Wall?
Yeah, I think it was. Prince's 1999.
For the record, by the way, Off the Wall was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame.
Kanye's Graduation, Missy Elliott's...
Great album.
Is it New World or Real World?
I don't know.
And Snoop Doggy Style, Beyonce Lemonade. Well, someone black beat Beyonce, so... Didn't Bruno Mars beat her?
I think Adele did, didn't she?
Oh, Adele beat her, okay.
Because they kept showing that clip all week long where she gives her acceptance and she talks about how great Beyonce was. But that could have been another album.
And then he was complaining about 10 black artists have won Album of the Year. Well, first of all, they weren't winning Oscar. They weren't winning Grammys for Album of the Year from like 57 to, I don't know what year, 70 or something. And then, so it's really, they've won 10 in the last 47 years, which is, you know, 20%. I mean, it's not that out of, that's actually more than the population.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like doing it with numbers and all that, but I mean, it's not... this topic is just so tiresome. I'm just move on.
I mean, it's an award show. It's an award.
I know.
Why is everybody so upset about it?
I don't know. I just thought that came out of left field. And by the way, as far as Diddy, you're getting an award for being an icon. Is that really the time to be complaining about not getting awards
like
or
50 minutes?
Oh, why won't anyone give me an award?
And Lizzo's nominated for 8. How about this coronavirus?
Yeah,
I know. I've been freaked out for a week. Oh my God, yeah.
I get kind of bored by health stories generally.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about Mike Clark would be just, he would be so wigged out about this.
He'd be stockpiling his, who is he stockpiling again?
Stockpiles the flu remedy.
What's it called? Tamiflu.
Tamiflu,
He had a ton of Tamiflu.
Yeah, half his house is full of Tamiflu, I think, still to this day. But.
Oh, Mikey.
Coronavirus.
It freaks me out, man.
It is
these
freaky.
These people are sick.
Morphs.
There's five people in America. There's 56 dead. I think they said 2,000 people have it.
Well,
But you know, right away they start talking about there's a number of Americans in China. We're airlifting them out of there. And I was like, we're not bringing them here,
are
we? Can they go somewhere else? Can they go to Guantanamo Bay and be checked out?
The same thing, or at least Hawaii?
Yeah.
I leave them in Hawaii?
I wasn't really... buoyed by that.
Did you see who is treating some of the patients here in America?
Who?
Dr. Robot.
Oh, really?
Which I love, Officer Robot.
That's a good call.
Officer Robot's amazing. They now have Dr. Robot, who is treating the patient in Washington. The doctors and nurses, they don't actually go in there. They have a robot go in.
It's not very comforting when you've got the coronavirus. Yeah.
Everything is fine. We are doing our best to take care of you.
The coronavirus, by the way, it just sounds like an irresponsible name because, you know, drink Corona beer.
Yeah, it's nothing but memes already.
Of course.
You see how it they think it spread?
Yummy beer.
How the coronavirus is spread?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Originally. How is it spread?
So there's a fun market in Wuhan.
Oh, somebody had a bat?
Yeah, bat soup. This market also
are they dead?
Sold rats and dogs. This market.
Have you seen the photos for bat soup?
Drop a bomb on that market and everyone who's eaten there?
Yeah. Well, Wuhan shut off.
Look at this, Drew. This is disgusting. Bat soup.
Doesn't that look delicious?
Oh, God, that is.
It's what it is. It's a bat staring at you with his teeth.
And bat broth.
Can we have a ban on that country? Where is this?
China.
China? Can we not? Can we just temporarily?
He's going to make a primo dump later on.
Look at that guy taking a bite. What is he biting into there?
He's biting into the bat's head.
That's what I thought.
Child, yeah. Too. Ugh.
Yeah.
Is he impersonating Ozzy?
Those delicacies are gross. Terrifying.
Yikes.
Wuhan, this city in China.
Mm-hmm.
How big that city is?
I don't know. It's got 5 billion people. And
China!
It's the fifth biggest city there.
11 million, the seventh largest city. It's bigger than New York City.
Oh, my God.
I'm always amazed when there's these giant cities in the world that we know nothing
about. I've never heard of it.
No one's heard of it. And it just took a nice, virus for everybody to take notice, I guess.
Wow. Well,
it's
sure
gonna kill us all. It's gonna wipe us out.
I sure hope they fought. Well, there's something on Netflix right now that you can watch.
I've watched it.
The plague thing.
Yeah.
And
it's fun.
I've thought of this because
pandemic? Is that what it is? Pandemic.
We did have the plague, which wiped out 20% of the population in the world or something.
Yeah. We also had the flu in 1919.
Yeah.
It wiped out 150 million.
Some insane amount of people, and so it's only they just if you do the odds, it's like oh boy, we're just about to have a plague any day now.
So Brandon had that's kind of the point of the Netflix documentary, but Brandon had the map of coronavirus and where it is right now in the world, like confirmed cases.
Oh,
and I just said, just another reason to be happy we're American because there's only like 4 cases here and we're on top of it more
five
than most
now.
Countries.
There's
five. Washington, Chicago, L.A. Where else? Some people at Texas A&M have it.
I didn't see the map. Oh, Texas A&M?
They were testing some people for it.
Okay. Well, our friends and studio sponsors Zot, Ford, and Holly and DealsNitty.com are proud to be our first and longest-running sponsor of the Drew and Mike podcast. And the best way to support our podcast is support our sponsors. That's how we survive. And, boy, it's worked out pretty well. So if you're anyone you know is in the market for a new Ford or a superb pre-loved vehicle, please call Jim Bentley. You can find out what his latest Twitter activity is.
He's been very active today.
When you're bored, you can go through his Twitter. An opportunity, when you're waiting, for whatever, the model to come around to drive or whatever it is. It's an opportunity to make your wildest automotive dream come true. They've got the Winter Wonderland clearance event now. All the trucks and SUVs you could ever want. Ford example, least the number one selling truck in America, the new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4, under $100 a month, or at least Detroit's favorite SUV, the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4, as low as $112 a month. And then finally, during the Winter Wonderland event, lease Michigan's sportiest SUV, the new 2020 all-wheel drive Ford Edge SEL, as low as $168 a month. Call Bentley or Anthony on the magic number, 248-215-5151. That's 248-215-5151. And pick a time to grab your sweet new vehicle from Zot Ford. Brandon, how you doing on your lock of the Super Bowl?
You
could pick a prop bet, by the way. You could go through all the bets and pick your favorite.
There is somebody on today's boner line, that texted into the boner line that asked...
Oh, we have a boner line today?
We do have a boner line. All right. And they asked me to make a bet for them because the Gatorade is definitely going to be red that gets dumped on the coach after the Super Bowl. He's thinking because of the 49ers and the Chiefs. I don't know if he's got inside information, but he's red.
Interesting.
I haven't seen the prop bets yet.
Have you looked at prop bets, Mark?
Yeah, I haven't seen any.
Hey, you know who we should call maybe tomorrow? We should call Spike King because he's probably there. He's probably going to be showing up on those silly shows.
He's going to be there?
No, he's got to. We got to talk to him about that tattoo that now incorrectly states that the Patriots won this year's Super Bowl.
Get him to Dr. Roche, maybe? That'd be cool. It's a way to make it about us.
Yeah, the only props so far are like first half, second half, first quarter. First to score, those are always fun.
Will you send, well, but it's whatever Brandon thinks is a lock. I mean, he's got to double his paycheck.
I got to really think about this one.
And, you know, all those prop bets. You want to look up the prop bets on my bookie? Just see if there's
right
a couple
now.
You like.
How about the exact number of touchdowns scored?
That's a weird bet. I would never bet that.
No, but that could get fun.
But yeah, you can
when
you
it
can,
comes down to field goal touchdown territory.
No, it's all these bets are a blast when they're in play. MyBookie.ag, and of course, you can get the 50%, or wait, oh, it's this new copy, isn't it?
Yes, brand new.
Okay, Super Bowl, you know what's coming. Whether choosing the straight-up winner of the game or making a side bet, MyBookie offers you the most up-to-date odds and a site that makes winning extra cash easy and fast. They got the most complete lineup of Super Bowl props of any sports book in the business. The amount of betting options is unrivaled. You can visit MyBookie.ag/party. Now to access a printable prop sheet for the big game. Hey, that's a great idea for your party.
They also have squares.
They do? Yeah. On my bookie?
Yeah, you can bet squares.
Wow, I'm just getting that part of the copy.
Oh, okay.
They've got NBA, NHL, NCAA. You can, if you don't want to bet the Super Bowl, you wager $20 or more in the Super Bowl, and you earn yourself a free entry into the March Madness Bracket Contest. Plus, if you deposit now, they'll match your deposit halfway. That's basically free cash to throw down on your best bet. This will be the last chance to take advantage. Just sign up now. Enter promo code Drew when you make your deposit. That's promo code Drew to give your bankroll a jump start. My bookie, play, win, get paid.
Here's some more great props. You ready?
Yes.
Who will have more ads, Donald Trump or Mike Bloomberg?
Oh, they'll each have one.
Well, we all know that they're spending $10 million.
I think I'd bet on Bloomberg.
Bloomberg, I would too. Will a gay couple be featured in a commercial?
There's got to be odds.
Yes is minus 170. No is plus 130.
Sounds right. I think it'd be more than minus 170. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a gay couple.
There's got to be one, yeah.
That's a hilarious bet.
This is a weird one. Will a yarmulke be in a commercial? Yes, plus 250. No, minus. What a weird one. What commercial will appear first, Budweiser or Coca-Cola? Budweiser's minus 140. Coke's plus.
Yeah, I would think I'd bet on Budweiser.
Isn't it always Pepsi anyway? Don't they tend to dominate the...
I guess so. I know the mob must be involved in the Super Bowl commercial activity.
Toyota or Jeep, which commercial will appear first? Netflix or Amazon?
Those are all good bets.
How many commercials will include a dog? Over 3.5 or under 3.5?
Somebody has gone through the commercials. You know they have.
They know. Yeah, so those are just some of the oddball ones they have outside of the game.
Can anybody tell me exactly why did the sheriff rip TMZ?
I didn't see it.
Because I didn't hear anything about Rick Fox from TMZ. I don't think it's about Rick Fox, is it? Or is
it? No, I think it's just about the early reporting, which I guess they would kind of do.
I thought the reporting was okay. They told me Kobe Bryant's dead in a helicopter crash. I think they did say 5 are dead, so they did have something wrong.
They're reporting rumors from sources that they get who are on the scene and...
They had the main part of the story, they were right.
Yeah.
But I just wondered what it was, if he specifically, and there was multiple, I mean, they had more than one story on it, so I don't know what they screwed up.
So I see that the L.A. County Sheriff rightly slams TMZ for breaking the Kobe news before his family could be informed.
Oh.
So his family found out via TMZ.
That's a big
problem.
That's
nice.
That's
really nice.
Oh, here I think this is
how the
wide speculation as who the identities are. However, it is be entirely inappropriate right now to identify anyone by name until the coroner has made the identification through their very deliberative process, and they've made notifications to next of kin. And it'd be extremely disrespectful to understand that your loved one was perished and you learn about it from TMZ. That is just wholly inappropriate, so we're not going to be going there. We're going to wait till the coroner does their job, and we're assisting the families of those who believe they've been impacted, and it's a tough process.
You know, this used to be something that was understood.
Well,
and
it's be first now. Speaking of first, I'm sure you were dying to hear Tiger Woods' reaction.
Hearts are heavy all over the world today with the news of Kobe Bryant's passing. I know this is hard for you. He was a friend, but you wanted to say a couple words about him.
What?
You know, Amanda, I didn't know until Joey just told me coming off 18 Green. I didn't really understand why
who's Joey?
The people in the gallery were saying doing it for Mamba.
Well, that must have been confusing.
But now I understand. It's a shocker to everyone. Unbelievably sad, and one of the more tragic days that I think, well, for me, it's just, the rally just kind of sitting in because
I'm just we both had our issues with women, and we talked about that often.
You've been a Lakers fan your entire life. I know what Kobe meant to you, Joe. Right.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, he's not going to say, play, because I want to hear him not say anything.
Him
he won't say
player,
anything.
Importantly, as a man and father.
I don't think.
The fire. Worker,
he burned so competitively hot. And the desire to win.
I know that.
He brought it each and every night on
really?
Both ends of the floor. I mean, not too many guys can say that throughout NBA history that
you really
he'd
brunettes.
Lock up on D.
I pretty much
obviously,
took anything.
He was dominant on the offensive side, but anytime he was in the game, he'd take on their best player and just shut him down for all 48 minutes. And that was one of the more
That's
impressive
a little
things,
dramatic.
I think, throughout his entire career. And then, you know, when he ruptured his Achilles and went to the foul line.
Did you just read Wikipedia?
And made his shots. I mean, that's
it's on a prompter.
I know this wasn't easy for you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Jim. Come on, lady.
Well, then why are you asking?
It's Tiger.
And you know she look. I'm the first to get Tiger to comment.
Oh,
you
boy.
Take forever to say nothing.
I really take exception to how many people are being asked to comment. It's like if you're watching ESPN or the news stations, it looks to me like they've just got a list of anyone who's ever a teammate, anyone who's ever connected in any way to Kobe Bryant, and they're just calling them just to see who will go on the air. And then some of them are just awkward because it's like, I don't think this guy knows him that well. I mean, Spike Lee, does he really know Kobe Bryant
it's
that
pretty
well?
Pretty amazing. I always
like I said,
They did a movie or a documentary picture. Together.
But was Kobe out there saying cut every day?
Spike's a basketball fan. I don't know.
I know he's a fan.
I just wonder.
It was Reggie Miller.
Wouldn't you love to hear the people that say, I'd rather not comment right now? Wouldn't you love to see a list of people who were contacted? No, I don't want to go on TV and talk about this.
Well, you can't always get a hold of people right away. But wouldn't Phil Jackson, Shaq? I mean, I can tell you the people I'd like to hear from.
Shaq tweeted about it.
Well, we saw Mike Golic jump in on the ESPN.
That was weird.
And CNN.
That was bizarre.
Mike Golic?
Yeah.
Is he close to Kobe Bryant?
No, they don't have any sports people for CNN.
Oh, you mean he was handling the coverage?
Yeah.
That was quick. It was minutes after it broke. So they called him up.
On the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's filling space. Fun, fast, simple, easy experience, all while saving you a lot of cash. That's what our friends and studio sponsors at DealsInTheD.com are all about. If you want to save time while saving money, if you want to have fun, of course you do. You want to go to Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Zot Ford, or the best-kept secret in Detroit, Zot Toyota. That should not be a secret. That's where Thad Zot, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zot, Steve Gabara take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to Drew and Mike Listers. They do such a good job for our people, as do all our advertisers. They look out for you guys. All while making buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing you'll do in 2020. So go surf their ridiculous deals, massive inventories at dealsinthed.com. And then tell them we sent you. And then when you're done with that, stop by and see Dr. Yaldo so you can be 2020 in 2020 without glasses and contacts. Truth is, the only way to get theirs up for a safe, painless, and brief procedure at the Yaldo Eye Center. For 2 years, our listeners have been going, having success. Some getting better than 20/20 vision, some getting LASIK, some getting multifocal lens implants, some just getting frames. Trudy got sunglasses. They've got a great, I mean, if you want to just do your basic eye tests and, you know, you're supposed to do that every year. I usually don't, but I mean, I do it like every 2 years, I think, when they'll no longer fill my contact subscription.
Yes, yeah.
That's when I go in.
Most people do that.
You may be a perfect candidate for one of the procedures, or they may say, let's wait a couple years because this you're in a position of flux, or he may just say you're not a good candidate. Anyways, become the most trusted and experienced eye surgeon in the Midwest. So do what hundreds of Drew and Mike listeners have done. Make the call, understand what will be required to rid you of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, and then decide for yourself. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center. You know, I forgot, I was so stuck on the young athletes who have tragically died that I forgot my brief list of the people who've died in helicopters, which is a short
list. Very short list, yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, Vic Morrow, who wasn't in the helicopter, but he was victimized by the helicopter.
I still don't understand how that happened.
You know, it's, I think the
how
video.
How tall was he?
I think the video's online.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was. I mean, I remember seeing it. He's running through water with, I believe it's two small Korean kids.
Hmm.
And I'm trying to remember if they died too.
Well, they're small. Probably just get me.
They might have missed them.
What? I didn't know there was.
Yeah, and they're filming, and there's a chopper right above, and the chopper, like, went, whoa! And the next thing you know, Vic Morrow's head was separated from Vic Morrow.
I don't know if I'm not going to watch.
Can you put it up so I can watch it?
I'll take a look.
Oh, God.
There was a punk band named Vic Morrow's Head, by the way.
Too soon. Oh, too soon.
By the way, I watched a punk
documentary. This is from Faces of Death 7.
Oh! Are they still making these?
Yeah,
look at there. Oh, there's. Oh, my God. I remember this now.
Oh, God. I don't know if I should watch this.
I don't think you can really see his head flying off.
No, you'll be fine, Brandon.
It's just a lot of confusion, and then it's crazy. There's no more Vic Morrow. Yeah, he's carrying the two kids through water, and there's explosions.
Sucks.
And I think the chopper's coming pretty soon.
Oh, you can't see anything.
Wow.
Oh,
they're going to slow it down for us like Skin does? Skin vision?
Skin vision. It's like they blew him up.
Anything.
I don't get it. They just blew him up.
Those kids are probably
the chopper comes. There's the chopper.
Yeah.
Those kids, boy.
Those kids had to have
there's his head floating.
Find out.
Oh, look at those guys running at the scene.
What are those guys doing playing soccer? Oh, gross!
Jesus Christ. Oh, what are they? They're passing it back and forth now.
Stop it.
Come on.
Oh, that's uncalled. Oh, now what are they?
Basketball?
Yeah, they're shooting into a hoop.
Firefighters on.
Oh, man.
That's terrible.
Weird that
that
is terrible.
They said that.
Yeah. I'm watching this documentary on Social Distortion.
Yeah.
You know the band?
Social D.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they started out, they were really young, early 80s. And they made a documentary for this this tour they were doing. And they've got this hollowed out bus. They're getting paid nothing. And they've got all the punk ethos.
Yeah.
You know, the... We're different, and we don't care, and we don't dress like preps, and I forgot how dumb 20-year-olds sounded in 1982. It was really funny. I really got some serious laughs out of it. If you look up documentary Social Distortion, I could probably lead us to a couple funny cuts in there.
What's it on?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the rare ones you'll find on there.
Yeah, that's where the... There's another documentary on there. There's one about Michael Jackson going to play in Russia. That's kind of fun. And there's a Pixies documentary that's on there.
Oh, I've seen the Pixies one.
I like that.
That was good. I like that.
Another State of Mind?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, it was made in 84.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the tour, I think, was in 82. But I kind of forgotten the whole, you know, I'm a punker, I'm a new waver, you know. And it's a lifestyle, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, pop in there. Pop the. Oh, we'll go back up a little bit. Yeah. Okay, just pop in there. How far is that, Brandon?
28 minutes.
Me?
Okay. Oh, we'll go back about 2 minutes.
2 years ago.
Go back. 2 years ago. That's. I thought that was Norm MacDonald there doing that accent in the movie.
There he is, Bob. Punching somebody on stage.
This guy was. It's just too hard to explain. You just have to hear it.
In the family system or whatever.
Family.
There's no family system to destroy because it was already broken down. It's been falling apart for about the last 20 years.
That's why I'm a punk.
Yeah. You know, sitting down at dinner and talking about things and going to church on Sunday and playing ball
man.
In the park with the kids and everything like that. That stuff's not happening anymore. We're just living in too fast of a
what
society.
What the hell are you talking about?
A lot of people don't have time to do it. They're so preoccupied with other things.
For a while, my mom used to, like, she used to throw
seagulls.
Me out of the house every 2 months. Like, she'd tear down all my flyers off the walls and throw my posters away and stuff. And all the pictures of my friends, I used to have them on a bulletin board. And she'd just tear it all down and rip them up. So now I just don't, like, flaunt it in her face.
But she's
you know,
a
punker. It's like she accepts it. She doesn't like it.
It's like being gay now, or like 10 years ago.
My parents just think I'm weird.
You are.
And, well, my dad likes my hair.
my ultimate goal in life isn't to be the nice capitalist tool, which, you know, I'll get paid good money and get a nice suburban home and have 2.2 kids and have a nice, have two cars and a nice dog and everything like that. That's not my ideal. I'm not willing to sacrifice my life to do that. And the fact that I won't is really, I think, threatening to a lot of parents. It's threatening. I'm sure it's threatening to my parents in a way. My parents actually are more open-minded than some. So I can say that to a degree to them, and they don't absolutely freak out. But they still have a hard time recognizing it. And the fact is, to an increasing number of kids, punks and non-punks.
I love how they all have it figured out, by the way.
I know.
Dream is not a viable solution.
Like a little campfire at night.
One, two, three, four,
Marcel.
One, two, three, four, five,
he's,
ten.
He's in an accident.
Right here.
He's got nice teeth.
Tell me about, is this Marcel?
Yeah.
Tell me about Marcel.
Me? Okay, 2 years ago,
ask him.
I used to see him at the club. And I used to think he was really cute, you know?
Really?
And
we'll
he was walking, he was all nice. And once he got hit by a car, and then since then he almost died, and he went into coma and all this. And then all his friends came to see him.
Great guy.
And when his
hold on to your dick.
When his friend came to see him, he started to talk, and then he started to talk, and then he started to move, and soon he's gonna walk.
Oh, because, I love that person.
Like, he's got willpower.
Yes.
He wants to walk again.
I'm sure Marcel's doing great.
He almost died. He was in coma. He couldn't even speak. And now look at him. He can move his hand. He can talk. He can.
He looks like Post Malone.
It's like, oh.
He looks like Post Malone, but instead of the tattoos, he looks like he's got black eyes and cuts on his face.
Say, her point was really accentuated by the bottles rolling around behind her.
And snatch purses and beat up faggots with some friends of mine to get some money to go eat or get stoned, you know? And
that's what punkers do.
I like it better. I wouldn't like to be rich because I'm happy on the street. Because on the street, I am myself. When I wanted a place to stay, I go in a club where stupid cunts go there, and I go see a harmless people, like, go see for harmless people, and then I say to them, oh, I have no money, nothing to eat, and stuff like this. And then they feel sorry for me, and then
you know she's a grandmother of like 9 children.
I know.
And they give me a place to stay, and then they want.
She cried when one of them got a tattoo.
And then I go for somebody else. Always like this. Always find
God,
my way.
I would have edited this chick.
Scared of people.
Marcel.
Because people are scared of me because they think I'm gonna beat them up.
That's not what.
I'm not gonna beat them up.
I think you're really ugly.
Oh my. They just don't like me anymore.
Pause for a second. I noticed that the punk world doesn't have many attractive women.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's. I think she's almost done. I want to see what's next now.
Years ago, I used to be the nicest person you ever met. I used to be good at school and all that stupid stuff. But I found out by myself that it was not right for me. That even if I was good enough for school and all this, I didn't have to go and show up good notes and all this.
I want to be a failure.
What made you change?
Goodbye, fucking shit school.
It's just that I was tired of doing what people wanted me to do. I just wanted to do something I could figure out myself.
Oh.
I do not want
Marcel
to harm nobody. I want them to live.
I'm not sure what Marcel adds to this documentary.
You can't take your eyes off him, I'll tell you that much.
That's true.
I think you're really ugly.
Die in about in 2 years. So I want everybody to come and see me at the funeral.
Okay, Marcel.
Almost as hilarious as your face.
Because life is not amusement.
What? Slow down.
His life's not amusement.
I do not like...
Oh, he's two-faced.
...to live in this kind of life.
Go to about 36 minutes in, Brandon. I think they're explaining how
I love your face. It's so unusual.
I think it's like a punk rock dancing sequence. Teach you how. It's kind of cool.
Wouldn't you love to know where Marcel is today?
Yeah, and her too.
Is that it?
That might be it. It's, what are you at, 36? Might be 37-ish.
How to dance? That's not very punk.
Well, you know, slam dancing was a big deal. And I didn't realize there was a routine to it.
I don't think lessons are very punk in any shape.
And anyway, slam dancing, someone always pushes too hard. Someone always slugs someone. And there's always some chick with a broken wrist or something crying.
The dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy.
You don't like to mosh?
I used to, but I'm 44 now, so...
I never found it terribly appealing, to be honest. I mean, punkers were... Oh, that guy's... Oh, here we go.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Some people call it slamming, and some people call it pogoing, and some call it the skang. But I just call it dancing, because that's normally what you're doing.
That's not really dancing.
That's great.
Just call this more or less a slam. Just keep going in a circle, keep moving your arms and stuff, and just bouncing off people, pushing them away. Then you'll see people stepping out through the crowd like this.
Wow, that was a good move.
And they bounce into them. And then also, there's also people, you'll see them, they'll be doing the pogo. They're usually pretty close to the stage. And you keep moving around in a circle like this, because that's when the pit moves is in a circle. People are jumping off stage and pushing them away. And just try not to get out of that circle, because if you do, you get out of the beat. And that's where the energy's at, is in the beat.
It's really funny when the guy's by himself doing it.
I know, it's so stupid.
Look at him.
Keeps going like this.
Wait to get to the stage diving and...
Just keep moving around. It doesn't matter if you fall down or not.
That did not look like a dance to me.
Someone's going to pick you up. Get everything?
Yeah, that was great, dude.
Okay, there's a bunch of people just shoving each other all over the place. I mean, honestly, usually there's injured people. Is the swimming pool part coming up? Here we go. Oh, this guy's
just
great.
A real aggressive type of dance. It's almost like, you know, something you would see in a football game. But the people that are doing it, they're all basically friends. They know each other. So nobody really, very seldom gets hurt. It looks very violent, very rough, but, you know, everybody just bounces off of each other, rolls around. They just have a good time.
You can get hurt, you can, if you're a girl. So totally from a girl's point of view, I don't think that slamming is advisable, or I don't even think it's, I think it's pretty stupid, but it does, it's a good thing, it's a good way to get your aggressions out if you're a guy, because you can go out there and guys can usually handle it.
I used to slam dance.
Whoa.
I used to be the only girl out there slam dancing. Hmm. And
it's pretty sausage festy, I gotta say.
I got my leg broken.
Oh, America is built around the whole idea. The John Wayne ethic of us versus them. Let's beat the shit out of the other guy before he beats the shit out of you. And that's, and really when you look at it, that the people that are criticizing the punks for slamming are these macho Americans, fat, overage, you know, middle-aged Americans sitting in their armchairs watching other people beat the shit out of each other on TV every Sunday afternoon. But when it comes
to people
having a good time with their friends, just where there's no competition, it's just everyone having a good time. They call it random chaos or very violent when that's not what it is at all.
Bonzo!
Watch this. These guys are practicing stage diving in a pool.
You don't go head first.
Well, we come out here on weekends and practice stage dives. And sometimes if you're at a gig, you can get hurt if the crowd splits. Or, you
I don't think this
is. You don't want him coming out on stage unless he's
your
hard.
Or your butt, so
it doesn't fit
really
the punk ethos, does it?
No.
Practicing in a pool?
When there's
nice pool.
Gigs happening, we just go here and just let out our aggression because of school and parents and everyone.
Oh, yeah, these guys have it so tough.
Something to do.
If you fall, or when you're slamming, if you fall down, everyone stops and they help you. They pick you up, you know, they make sure everything's okay. And if you're hurt, you know, they're going to help you out.
This for all the dudes in the city, all y'all gay.
Well, sometimes you try to land, like,
not feet first into people, because I've landed feet first in somebody's head and got beat up for it, and it wasn't too much fun.
Are you okay?
So we just practice out here and try to land sort of like at an angle where they can at least slow you down before you hit the ground or catch you or whatever.
Are you okay?
So you don't get hurt and don't hurt other people.
Look at that, jumping off the stage. Yeah!
It's nothing like what they were doing in the pool.
No, it's sometimes no diving board. And there's music that sucks, too. I'd rather be at the pool.
Chicks definitely...
when they're out dancing at a punk show that it's not violent, but that's really a joke, because it is violent. The whole nature of the dance is violent. The way kids swinging around, it just looks like they're beating each other up. The thing is it's not a malicious... violence. It
seems like these people are on the same page.
They're not out there to hurt each other.
Violence is the best.
They're out there getting their aggressions out. I mean, they got a lot of pent-up angers and hates and frustrations. They like a lot of things about the world that piss them off, and it's just a release, an energy release.
I set the world on fire.
Okay.
So I was outraged.
What happens is they go on this stupid tour, go up to 48 minutes. I think there was something around there.
Cool things for all the dudes on the stage. Y'all gay?
This is great. I love this.
Are these people cool, though?
Yeah.
They're really cool.
I've been reading the Beastie Boys book, and of course, they begin in punk. And it's just fun to hear them explain it.
I think they come
later in life about what they were like early on and how they don't know shit.
Well, that's what I was enjoying here was I'm like, wow. 20-year-olds have always been stupid,
I always
think that way. But, I mean, to hear it from people that were my age, you know, when this came out, because I might have watched this at the time going, yeah, man, that's cool. Fuck these preppies.
That's, yeah.
What else are you looking for on this one?
48 minutes, it seems to me there was something goofy, and I don't remember.
I'm fucking 17.
This guy's heavyweight. Whenever that guy's talking, it's worth listening to.
In the 60s, they made people aware of the problems, and they had a war to fight against. We don't have a war, but those problems are still around. They didn't find any solutions for them. I mean, they still exist. It's hard these days for kids to have anything to believe in. I mean, the traditional things we were brought up with, the government, the family system, the American dream, the whole religion thing that's so important to our society, they just don't work.
This guy's really down on the family.
Oh, that horn.
We can see it every day.
Not
it's just
anymore.
We live in a government right now. We're under an administration that's trying to regress, go back to a golden age. It doesn't exist. And they sincerely believe we could have a nuclear war. And that's a really scary thing.
You're failing us.
Thinking that these people are any day are just going to blow us all up. And the whole family system that we were brought up on, the American dream that our parents realized of going to school and getting a good
people
job.
People are
getting
dying.
Married, that would make you happy. But that didn't make them happy. Most of our parents are getting divorced. Most of the punks come from broken homes. And they look at their parents and they say, well, if that's the way they turn out, I don't want to turn
we
out
will
like
never
that.
Forgive you.
It's not going to make us happy if it didn't make them happy. And the religious values that we were brought up in, I mean, we live in what people term a sinful society these days. Those religious values that we were brought up in, they just don't exist. Most of us are look at ourselves as individuals. And as far as following some sort of dogmatic religious values or code, we just won't do that anymore.
How many times has someone come to you
change
and said,
is coming whether you like it or not?
This they have nowhere to stay because they're living on $10 a day while they tour.
Yeah, of course.
So they stay at this religious hostel or something.
Patriots of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
it's going to mix well.
They have to like get preached at all the time in order to stay there free.
Oh, man.
It's pretty funny. And there's a couple guys here who are like, oh, yeah, we used to be punkers, and then we took on Jesus Christ as our savior. It was ridiculous.
Hey, punker poo.
My favorite part is at the end, what happens is the bus breaks down, and it can't be fixed. So they stay at some friend's place in D.C., which and they jam with those guys, and they make some friends and stuff. And slowly people start going, man, I don't like this. And so they call home, and their parents buy them a flight ticket home. They fly home.
That's not very punk.
I know. That's what I said.
Come on.
And in fact, four of the guys go in the van with the people doing the documentary who are, you know, actually people with resources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them fly home, I think. But
the punk thinks the shit don't stink. Well, just to let you know, the shit does stink. Seems like shit.
It reminded me of the History of Western Civilization documentary on rock bands in the 80s?
Know.
And remember the guy from Wasp who's in the pool and he's just bombed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a history buff.
I think it's the history of Western civilization. It's about those bands in L.A. and they all claim that, well, we're going to make it. We're going to be huge. And they're all zeros now.
Yeah. Speaking of zeros, Marcel died in 1984. So he didn't make it.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Really? How'd you find that out?
He died shortly after that then.
Yeah.
Any other updates?
Manon Briere, another young Montreal punk, is still around. She fronted bands Generators, Maniac Manon, and The Guest List, so I guess she's still a thing.
Well, Social Distortion did great.
Mike Brinson went to a nuclear engineering school in the Navy, resides in Indiana.
Wait, that's not very punk!
Two sons and works in the aerospace
industry. He's working for the government, man! That's bullshit!
Dennis Danelle jokes in the beginning that he's 38 and old, and then he died in 2000 at the age of 38.
Yeah, and everybody's really stuck on that. Like, how did that happen?
The rhythm
like it's
guitarist.
The biggest coincidence ever.
Yeah, I know.
There's only like 80 ages he can die at. He's already passed 20 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so four people have died. Brent Lyles, traffic accident. He was also in Social Distortion. And then Road...
He is no longer with us.
He died.
Two of the Road Crew members died. One of an overdose in 88, another, they don't say why, but in 95.
Well, they have some great music.
Some of them are punk.
Actually, what was I listening to? Oh, Ring of Fire. They got a cool version of Ring of Fire.
It's called Another State of Mind, by the way.
Okay.
It's the doc.
Thank you. But it reminded me, you know, because we pick on millennials all the time, and I remember how dumb people were. If you're 16 to 20, you're just going to be dumb. You just are. I mean, how many people are
17.
Really?
Not anymore. They're all smart.
No, but these guys knew it all, too. And they were my age.
I know.
They knew it all.
Yeah, but they didn't have the internet.
Today know it all.
They didn't have the internet to expand their knowledge and share their knowledge.
Okay, oh, so the people that know it all now really do know it all.
They know even more, and they can tell you that they know even more.
Well, did you see the big millennial poll today? This is like breaking news.
Oh.
It was so huge. Millennials' number one goal in life is not family, and it's not career.
Not family, not career.
It's not experiences
themselves.
Either. It's not experiences. No, not really. No.
Not family, not money.
Is being money? Being debt free.
Really?
Life is so hard. This family sucks because we're not debt free.
Debt free. Yeah, some things are a little bit more important than being debt-free, like health.
If you're a millennial, though,
your
and you
family's health.
No, I think if you pull people who have a child, it'll be 100% the other way.
It's a child. Yeah. Really? Are you debt-free?
No, I'm not debt-free. No.
Not anymore.
Well, there was another disturbing...
You're failing us.
I clicked on another story within that same story, and it was about nude pictures.
Oh, that story's weird.
Yeah, and teenagers, and it was basically about how boys, you know, 14, 13, 15, 16, and on up, of course, are completely self-assured and comfortable asking girls for nude pictures.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Another teenager making a terrible life choice.
And girls feel compelled to send them because they get besieged with people.
Yeah.
Asking for them. So they think it's, I mean, there's a, they said it is now a societal norm. It's not just, you know, hey, everybody's got phones and can take pictures easily, so this stuff goes. No, it is a societal norm if you're a teen to be asked and asked and asked and asked for nude pictures if you're teen female.
And to do the asking if you're
a and to do the asking
male,
if you're a guy. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I felt that they sort of blamed it on the guys. And I guess they do deserve the lion's share of the blame.
Well, yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of women asking for the nude photos back, but I bet they get them.
Now, a lot of this comes from a girl who's in the 12th grade. She did a research project on it, and she's 17.
Uh-huh.
Somebody was thinking that. Do they just do this project because they got busted sending out nudes and they're trying to justify it?
I get the impression that she was asked a lot.
Very pretty girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I saw her picture and I thought, oh, I know she was asked a lot because
she's really cute.
She probably did it.
And you know, when you look at, I don't know, this is what's to me such bullshit is political correctness and all the things that, you know, you can get canceled for as an adult because you should do this better, or you shouldn't have done that, or you said this, or you supported the wrong person, or you voted for Trump, or you wear a MAGA hat, or, you know, the myriad of things. And yet, nobody gives a shit about this.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this is like...
Nope. That can have long, life-lasting effects? No.
And for all the talk about bullying, and, you know, I see a lot of charities about bullying, and I always wonder, like, what does a charity do about bullying? I don't even know what you do. But anyway, the point is that bullying is... It's more prevalent than ever.
Yeah.
Except now it's on paper. It's on your screen. There's tons of people looking at it. It's not just being bullied by two or three people. You're being bullied by... You know, a whole group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, for all the talk, that very little is done about it.
Well, at least these nude photos are just becoming so normal, it's just not a big deal anymore.
I guess, yeah. I guess we'll get more comfortable with our nudity, except that these people are underage.
No, I know. But the next generation, they won't even ask because they won't care anymore. It'll be so normal. There's no taboo left.
Well, you know, honestly, it sounded to me like the least worked up people about it are the teenagers themselves, yeah, because they're
normal.
It's normal. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they realize, like, that will follow you the rest of your life.
It could.
Though.
It could. And someone, you know, a lot of these guys are, because they're 15 or 16 and they're dumb. They're, you know, you break up or whatever, and maybe they're a little angry, or they're a little showy, or they're a little, you know, got some bravado, and they'll share it with somebody who shares it with somebody who shares it with somebody who shares it with somebody. And then it's, you know, really seriously, you know, my life is over, humiliating.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go through that.
Should be encouraged for women over 18.
Yeah. Over 18. Now you're adults. And
everybody
should be a norm too.
That should be normalized. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's been so normalized for over the 18 that kids are just doing it now.
Well, I think it's all very sort of, you know, oh, really, until, you know, maybe it's your kid that has their photo spread around, or you find out. I mean, because that's a horrifying thing. I think most people like to think that, oh, well, my kid isn't doing that.
No, you know, just assume they are.
Just like people used to assume their kids didn't smoke pot when I was in high school. Everybody smoked pot. See, everyone did.
Here's another thing. There's no taboo left with that. Like, what, if you're a teenager, what are the taboo things?
Well,
I don't know.
It's a good question. I mean, coming home with a tattoo when you're 15, that's survivable.
Normal.
Survivable.
Yeah.
I always felt like, you know, when I was a kid, if you got busted for pot, that was not survivable. Your life is over.
Yeah.
It's over. You've been busted.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, bust his ass, officer.
A bunch of kids my senior year got busted.
Oh, God. I remember friends getting busted. It was a huge deal. It was like the talk of the school, too. It was like, oh, my God, so-and-so got busted. And so, meanwhile, you know, you're carrying half an ounce in your pocket. Like, oh, my God, his life's over.
So it was a very small school, Catholic school, and this happened on the Catholic retreat. So during time.
During a religious event, that's even worse.
And I learned a valuable lesson here as I saw some people that were friends get busted, and it's never admit to anything because there were some girls that were just broke down. Like, oh, I admit I did it. And they're like, you can't graduate. And they're like, what? Which morphed into, you're not allowed to participate in, you know, some of the graduation ceremonies, which is a big deal to, you know, seniors in high school. But there was one person who's like, nope, didn't do it. Just kept saying, nope.
And I got to participate.
So they're like, all right, you, sir, have to take a drug test.
Oh.
He's like, all right, cool. No problem. Next thing you know, he's like, I'm just drinking so much water.
that they, on the test, it comes back that this guy's been drinking so much water, we can't get a result.
Yeah, diluted test.
Why is he drinking so much water?
And he had to do it overnight the night before the test. And he didn't want his parents to know that he was going to the bathroom all the time, so he just kept peeing in his terrarium.
Well, I understand.
And it worked. He graduated. He got to participate in everything.
It's pretty good.
Great guy.
Until the floor below.
Has a lovely
really
family
wet.
Now. Makes a ton of money.
Cool.
My mom's going to ask me who this is.
They made the right call.
Yeah, no, I learned a lesson.
The other part of the societal norm that nude photos are between teens is that a shocking amount of teen girls feel terrible about their bodies due to the celebration of the girls who get all the likes on social media, which, I mean, is this really news? I mean, it's just that somebody has actually done a study and the numbers are kind of like, oh, shit. all these girls feel bad because, yeah, because the influencers are all hot and they get all the attention and they go look at them and go, oh, fuck, I couldn't get 10 likes for my picture.
Do you think it's worse now because so many quote unquote normal people, or there's so many people that are hot and getting all this adulation, whereas before it was just TV stars, magazines. Well, remember all the angst about these pictures in magazines and how attractive these women are.
Yeah. No, Mark, it is worse because it can be the girl in the dorm room next to you who has 10,000 followers and is constantly taking pictures in, you know, some new bikini or some new outfit. And she looks so hot and all the guys.
But at the same time, you still have the Ashley Grahams, the Lizzos, the Tess Holidays that are...
I don't think that's...
body positive.
Is that really working?
I don't know. I don't think. I wouldn't I don't, think so. I think
I don't see a lot of people Tess Holiday size in bikinis.
Well, I mean, it's unhealthy the other way. Physically unhealthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad they're happy with their body. That's
I thought the Jillian Michaels thing was really stupid because she got so much shit.
She's right.
And she said, excuse me. She said, I am glad she's body positive, but that's not healthy and it shouldn't be celebrated. That's all.
Yeah. Her body positive. She's happy with her body. Cool. That fine. Celebrate that. But it's not a healthy lifestyle.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's winning in the battle of the, you know, Instagram influencers.
I'm in between sizes.
No, I don't think so either. Although Ashley Graham has a zillion followers, and so does Tess Holliday. How many followers does she have?
I don't know. I'm not opening it. I don't want to see.
There is, let's see, Kobe. Everything's Kobe today. How far in are we, Brandon?
Kobe!
136, and we do have a boner line.
Let's do the boner line, which is... brought to you by our friends at... oh, wait, was I supposed to do this? No, I wasn't supposed to do that. We're okay. Oh, yeah. Let's just say that it's brought to you by our friends at Lover's Lane, because Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your sweetheart in the mood with a gift from Lover's Lane. And, of course, the all-new sexdrive.com. For the hottest stuff even Cupid can't get his hands on, shop early. Visit sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane, and they bring you the boner line.
Drew, Mark, Brandon, Trudy, Zoobs.
Hello.
I got a good audio separated for you. Antonio Brown's first fart, the one that sounds like, it kind of sounds like that lady that was smashing grapes and got the wind knocked out of her.
Oh, stop. That just sounded like a fart.
Yeah.
Hey, can you do me a favor? I hate Antonio Brown. The guy's an idiot. I hate that fucking song. Please quit fucking playing that song. Please.
No.
All this Matt Farley talk, and I'm shocked that you haven't played the song When Drew Has to Poo off the acclaimed 2011 album entitled Still Farting, Pooping, Puking, and Peeing by the Toilet Boy Cleaners.
Well, what does Mike do when Drew's gotta poo?
Okay, Boomer. UPN? Hey, 2005 called. They want Channel 50 back. You gonna go home and watch Married with Children? Oh, wait, that went off the air in, like, 1998 or so. I don't know. UPN. Good job, Drew.
Turn off that television, y'all!
I just wanted to call in with a preemptive geriatric correction. Drew, I know how you often can't tell if something happened a year ago or 15 years ago, but Channel 50 hasn't been UPN for 15 years, so it does fall into your timeline. But I just wanted to know that it falls closer to the end of that timeline.
50, you said.
Can you imagine you're married, you have one kid, your wife is pregnant with another kid, and you've been suppressing your gayness for how long, and you finally decide, all right, I'm going to allow myself one dick for one football season, and it ends up being John fucking Gacy.
And then he started coming on to me.
It's audio separated at birth. Thomas Markle
and John Wayne Gacy.
They're turning it into a Walmart with a crown on it.
You know how this subject would guys.
See ya.
Keep it stuff.
Yeah, short one today.
I wasn't sure where that guy was going. I don't know why I was singing Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, okay.
But she wasn't pregnant when Aaron Hernandez did all that. And then he said, one dick. I'm like, well, Aaron had a bunch. Forgot that guy, Monday Night Football, has to be with the...
I know, and I wonder where that guy is. I wonder who that guy... It's probably just made up. Isn't he making that up?
Of course he is. He's grooming Jason. Hey, the Grammys pre-show had started, and this is how they started it. If you can pot it up.
Yes, with the sudden and tragic passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter,
It is a sad and tough day here in Los Angeles. We are just a few yards away from the place where he spent his entire career as a Lakers superstar.
He really transcended being a sports icon. He was in the second chapter of his life, creating so many things, books and winning an Oscar. A fabulous man who will be missed.
Yeah, I just saw Kobe a week and a half ago. He was a friend, and I spent so much time with him on and off the court. And so today we just try to digest this unthinkable tragedy, and we also...
Kobe!
Try to move forward. The show must go on.
And send our love and prayers to his wife, Vanessa, and their children and all their friends and family.
For
the next hour, our winning team will be here covering every inch of this star-studded Grammy red carpet.
And we'll also take you exclusively inside Staples Center.
Not trite at all.
15-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys is about to take the stage, and we're being told that they are making last-minute changes to address the passing.
That was actually a fairly smooth transition.
No, it was a decent one.
You know, the fact that this major star is dead.
Yeah, because if you go to the news right now, they do have aerial shots of the Staples Center, and there's like a little section that people that they've given people to kind of remember Kobe. I think they've moved everybody that would get away from the celebs.
What a nightmare for them, but Yeah, then there hasn't really been anything new because you're just waiting for, you know, who else is on this.
What?
So they got their first interview, and it's
this night will be so much about the music, but also about people remembering and thinking about Kobe, because so many of the stars who will walk the carpet.
Is every star
going to
be asked about Kobe?
And it's Sharon Osbourne.
You know, I was meant to interview the Jonas Brothers tonight, and they've canceled all interviews because they're in shock, obviously.
Yeah, so many people here in Los Angeles and around the world.
I mean,
the Jonas Brothers canceled their interview.
I got to say, that's probably a classy thing to do, but. Why are the Jonas Brothers so, you know, bent out of shape about it? Were they tight with Kobe? Do I not know something? I mean, this guy clearly hates Kobe because he has no problem doing interviews.
No, like when she walked up, they said, hey, you obviously knew Kobe, so we missed that part. But.
Speaking of music, on Saturday, Drew did his last public appearance ever.
How was it? I missed it!
At the Rock City Music Company with Steve Gorman. Steve was, you know, plugging his book and taking stories. It was great. The crowd was huge. I got there.
I saw the photos. There was a great turnout.
There was a line around the block before they started. Drew, you did a wonderful job, by the way. So many people said to me, like, wow, that book is really dog-eared, and he's got notes. I said, yeah, he really does read the books when we talk about him.
It was.
Good job.
Incredibly dog-eared.
But God, he's a great storyteller.
He's really good.
It's not just that book, Drew. It's every book you have up.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of highlighting. But and I've gotten better at it, too. I think I really do get highlights as opposed to everything, which is the easiest thing to do when you start highlighting. Oh, this everything's great. Oh, my God.
Well, Steve said his original manuscript was, 960 pages? And he felt like, I can't believe I'm leaving all this stuff, great stuff out.
Yeah, I was dying to know what the other 580 pages are. Oh, my God. But... Rock City Music, right?
Rock City Music
they
Company.
Were great.
They were awesome. Nick
God,
was great.
They did a fantastic job. And
Gary?
How often did they do? Gary Graff was there? Gary came from eating lunch.
And another Gary.
Steve.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was eating lunch with Steve. I think I was on a group text and said it was Gary going, hey, you got room for me to park in back? Because Steve Gorman and I are on the way over. We just had lunch. It's like, what?
He had to one-up you.
They sit around the table. They have lunch. They eat. They dine. And they waste a lot of time.
I knew you were hosting.
Yeah, what'd you eat?
And, of course, Gary's known him for like 30 years.
I know. That was a cool store, though.
That was a great store. And just an incredible event. Did they do Q&As like or stuff like that, book stuff, very often?
I don't know if they had to have done it before. Because, boy, were they organized and... it's cool being in Nick's office in the back. He's got a lot of good memorabilia.
He does.
Like this memorabilia should be out front, but
I didn't think music stores had cool memorabilia.
That was his private office. You can have all the memorabilia he wants to have in there.
How long was the event?
Well, let's see. It's supposed to start at 2:00. That's when they let people in. And about 2:30, Nick gave like 15 minutes of rules.
To the crowd?
Yeah, to the crowd. No, it wasn't that long, but there's a long list. Well, one of which I broke because I took
Did the crowd give any rules right back?
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
No. There's a good Q&A with him, but it was packed, man.
It's for all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
People did a good job asking questions, too. It was pretty...
They did.
It was quite a combination of questions. And a lot of our people were there. Hey, Marie was in the front row wearing a Drew and Mike baseball shirt. That was a cool shirt.
If there's any negativity, it's about what you were wearing.
What was I wearing?
You were wearing a Riff shirt.
Oh, that's right.
Your worker shirt.
No, yeah.
That just shows how little you think of your wardrobe.
I know. I honestly, it didn't even cross my mind until I took it off.
Twitter liked to point that out. So
nice outfit, by the way. Rock and roll.
And Marie was next to, oh gosh, I don't remember his name. He was right next to her wearing a Drew and Mike shirt. And there was a lot of Drew and Mike stuff in there. Uh-huh. It was pretty cool, man.
Joel?
It's quite a crowd. Joel?
I think so. Sounds right.
I wasn't there. I'm just seeing that I saw a bunch of stuff on Facebook. A lot of incredible pictures.
I thought, I didn't see the Shure twins, but Christy posted a picture with Steve, so I know she was there.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that Angie didn't get a picture if she was there. But you think the twins would have gotten a picture together.
You tell them!
Trudy was there.
Trudy was there.
Zoov showed up.
Oh, Zoov came by. I didn't see Zoov.
Just snuck in.
Zoov's.
Like that.
He does.
Just sneaks in and was there.
There was some. I wanted to go back briefly to the boner line. Okay. What is the big fucking deal with UPN? I was trying to refer to Channel 50. Is Channel 50 CW now?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you the last.
I knew what you meant. Everybody knew what
the next time. The next time you get so upset by that, can you also rag on everyone else for not saying anything? I mean, it seems to me, if it's that ridiculous, somebody would say something. Same one thing with, what is it? Taquito. I mean, honest to God. Really? UPN means Channel 50 to me. And I don't even...
I couldn't tell you the last time I watched Channel 50.
That's my problem. I haven't watched anything on Channel 50 in forever.
Remember when the Red Wings used to be on Channel 50?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Huge. Those were the good old days for Channel 50.
Yeah.
Ray Lane.
Go Red Wings!
They had a full news operation there. I mean, isn't it weird to think of that? There were
And then UPN bought them and everything ended.
Yeah, I think, did they stick with news for a short time? But Amir Makeupson.
Very short time, yeah.
I wonder what old Amir Makeupson's doing these days.
Once those sports teams.
She was cool. Yeah.
Amir Makeupson, didn't she just pass away? Oh, no, I'm confusing her with Aggie Sedley.
Oh, no, Amir's around, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Right, she was good. She was rock solid. She was there a long time. And Ray Lane was there at the end of his career. Ray worked everywhere.
He was awesome.
He was cool. I liked Ray a lot. So anyway, Friday, before our event on Saturday, Charlie was doing his show, No BS News, which by the way, had a huge Facebook crowd because Pete Carmanos Jr. was here, which was so cool. And I have to admit, I was nervous. I'm like, wait, there's a billionaire coming over? Oh my God. And he pulls up in this orange Hummer.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was really cool. He comes in. He was really nice.
You're rich, you jerk.
I don't know. When somebody's a billionaire, I'm just nervous. It's like, he's a billionaire. I don't know because.
I can make that much money in 5 seconds.
Yeah, because the fact they could that he's be really. Here shows he doesn't.
No, he was cool. He was totally cool. And I thought he was good.
I thought it was good, too. I pulled this from. I didn't want to take too much of the show. If you want to listen to Pete with Charlie, obviously go ahead and download that show. But I just pulled this clip because it kind of sums up how the interview went.
I'm a rich American with a big wiener.
That's great.
He was very good. He didn't. It's interesting because you can tell he's a guy that likes to speak his mind. But a couple times he said, I don't want to get myself in trouble, and I understood how I felt. He doesn't want to say something
horrible. Doesn't want to be canceled.
But Charlie brought up the fact that all this money was spent for this arena, and we have all these other needs. Mm-hmm. And seems that Pete Carmanos Jr. managed to put his building up with all of his own money somehow, and that was before the city was really in, or that was when the city was in dire straits.
Yeah.
And I think he felt that the city just got a bunch of parking lots for it, which is pretty accurate. But Charlie asked some tough questions about Kwame, and
that's what I was going
to
ask.
I was very—I don't want to give it away because I want people to listen to No BS News because it was a good show and it was interesting. It was really on track too. Well, Charlie took it off track a couple times, which I won't give away. You'd have to see it. If you've seen a picture, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, there's that, and there's a condom. Like, right in front of you.
Yeah, you were just... It was in your hand a minute ago. Right,
condom has something to do with it. And then ML had Jim Schaefer on, too, for The Soul of Detroit. And I haven't listened to that show yet. I want to listen to it, though.
I thought it was good.
He's got a great guest. I'm excited about his guest this week because... If he can, I think he should really dig into the stuff that this, well, let's say it's Steve Wilson from Channel 7, the big guy, who did great work when ML was doing, and Jim were doing their great work. I mean, Steve was right alongside doing some other stuff like the infamous, the Navigator. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Steve.
And getting shoved around by Kwame's bodyguards.
What if he's still buying prostitutes?
Yeah.
We're buying prostitutes. You quit buying prostitutes.
Wow.
What an asshole.
That was just incredible.
And while we're on the red shovel, we do have, let's see, Chris Spielman tomorrow for the...
No way! Yeah,
Chris Spielman will join us. And then later in the week, Mike Lotish, the six-time Super Bowl player, 1-2.
And I can imagine...
Spielmonster we want to have on?
I will tell the Spielmonster.
Spielmonster
on. I can't imagine the Kobe stuff tomorrow with...
Oh, yeah.
Denny and Eli and Bob.
You know, I was really struggling with it. I'm like, God, I don't know what to say about Kobe, except that I just thought he was an incredible player, incredibly clutch player. He was one of the best that you could see in any sport during that period and during any period. He was incredible. He was clutch. He was what I loved about Kobe was he was so flippin' competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was determined. And, you know, I always feel like you can learn something from guys like him, guys like Jordan. People are that successful. They want it. They want. They. And he's a hardworking guy. I mean, those guys weren't just great athletes. They were, because you know, there's a lot of guys
that have talent and
That have talent at a level almost of Kobe or close or maybe even the same or Michael Jordan, but they don't have that thing
drive
that makes them want to work harder than everyone else.
Yep. I was watching a video and Kobe was telling a story about, you know, he's born in Italy.
Yeah, because dad was playing over there. Jelly Bean, right? Is this Jelly Bean alive? Probably is.
My God, I don't know. Was he on the chopper?
So sad.
But he was telling the story. He got here, and he's in high school, and immediately gets challenged by a kid in basketball. And I'm sitting there going, he must have just destroyed this kid back then.
Yeah, Joe Bryant is still alive, by the way.
He is?
He is. He's 65.
Oh, boy. You know, that really...
Was he tight with Kobe?
You know, I don't know. There's some weirdness going on. And you know, that's, like I said earlier, you know, when L. Brooks Patterson died and Don Imus died, and I'm not saying those people were perfect by any means, but I thought it was shitty that Twitter just, you know, went, oh, glad that fucker's dead. Yeah. Because, you know, there's a few things in Kobe's world you could say the same thing about, but it's just, I don't know, it seems so obviously inappropriate to me. It's the time to say, you know, God almighty. I mean, all I can think about when you say his father's alive is, oh, shit, his parents are alive. They got to deal with this. His wife, his kids have lost a sister. And, you know, in fact, I already saw a crappy comment, and I'm kind of surprised by this. But, you know, too many people have voices, and so you're going to get some assholes always.
Has Brandy made comment yet?
Oh, shit, they dated.
He took her to the prom.
After they watched highlights at his house.
Well, you know,
somebody else did that, too.
Gotta watch something.
Somebody else did the same. We just heard the same story.
Mel Gibson.
Oh, Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he made a girl that he had an affair with watch Mad Max before they got it on.
This is so funny. This is so rando. Patrick sent me this because he and I have joked about that. We think Sydney Leathers, you know, she's such a player in porn because she was... Her claim to fame was that, what's his name, the congressman? Anthony Weiner was hitting on her.
Carlos Danger.
And
are you more than 7 inches?
I'm trying to remember, did they ever get it on? Or were they just talking online?
Oh, no, they were just talking. He was sending his underwear picture. And
yeah.
The guy I know him.
And she tried to turn this, you know, this big thing. And I'm just a 22-year-old girl, and he's a congressman. And it's, you're 22.
Yeah.
Why are you talking to a married congressman? I mean, I don't really feel like, I mean, he's an idiot. And plus, I think he'd been busted before.
Remember how awful she was in the documentary?
Oh, yeah. She made a career out of hounding him and his wife.
Uma.
Yeah. Uma, which was rotten. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't really go for that stuff. But anyway... She then goes into porn because she's Sydney Leathers, the girl that Anthony Weiner was talking shit to. I mean, what? And Patrick and I both thought that she really was getting into the sex. And so it was like, well, play her at least. Although she does have that giant tree tattoo on her back, which is maybe the dumbest tattoo I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Anyway, she tweeted out I wonder how many followers she has. Can you see how many followers she has? I just have a copy of a screenshot.
She has 36,500 followers.
Wow.
What? Oh, my God. Okay. My ex is sad about Kobe, so I said, wasn't Kobe a rapist? Good riddance. And ran out of the room giggling like a child. Too soon?
What a bitch.
Why is that funny?
Good riddance.
First of all, he was not found guilty of rape.
Well, he settled.
Yeah, I know. It's like I said, he had a few bumps in the road.
Non-consensual sex.
And I'm not.
Which fun. Well, I don't want to get in the.
I'm not
nitty gritty about it, but
yeah, I don't want to be a big judgment thing on people the minute they die. Maybe there's probably one or two I would do it on, but not Kobe Bryant, and not.
She followed that up.
Patterson.
She followed that up with. People are going to be more pissed at me for this tweet than at him for raping a woman. But that's our society. LOLOLOLOLOLOLOL. And let's not pretend that being found not guilty automatically means he's not guilty, as if rich, talented people play by the same rules as regular folks.
But why have that discussion right now? I just think it's, yeah, whatever. You know, it's, everybody's got a voice. Hey, everybody's got to say something. But he has to say something.
Everyone knows that about her.
Yeah, no, I mean, none of this is really news. So, yeah, Patrick, by the way, reminded me because he likes watching Marr. I had Bill Maher on Friday night. He had a hilarious monologue. Just hilarious monologue. I'm trying to remember that there was one joke I really laughed out loud at. It was, he was talking about the pro-life rally.
Mm-hmm.
Which, oh, the Covington kids.
Nicholas Salmon was there.
Was Salmon there?
Yeah, I saw a tweet with Nicholas.
He was in the bus?
You follow him on Twitter?
Yeah. And I follow Nathan Phillips.
Well, Nicholas Salmon and the Covington kids were on the way home, and somebody's going the wrong way on the highway and hit their bus. And that person died. And I guess two people in the Covington High School bus were injured, but I guess they're okay. And so Bill Maher was talking about the pro-life rally, or maybe it was an event, and I don't know if Trump attended. I mean, he supports them, and Bill Maher said something about that Trump only supports abortion in cases of, wait, what is it, rape?
Yeah.
Rape, molestation, or if the mother's face is ugly. This is a pretty good joke. Pretty edgy.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah, I usually the panel part usually wears me out on that show, but I've always thought Bill Maher was hilariously funny.
Did he have what's her name, Megyn Kelly on?
He did actually. And you know what? That wasn't a bad interview.
Yeah. Well, he's mad that she got let go either. But I haven't seen it, so I was wondering, did he talk about her ratings
on NBC?
Yeah, I mean that's why she was really let go.
I don't think I made it through the entire interview, but the interview was good because, and strangely, I thought she came off very well. She was, she seemed loose enough to be, not
Megyn Kelly. She got nothing to lose in her. No.
She did keep referencing the Kelly file, which I thought was annoying, but you know, Mar was talking about
this
her,
is Kelly.
Her being canceled, and just that. He thinks, and Bill Maher's as liberal as they come.
He knows better than that.
He thinks that 80 to 90% of people on the left don't like it, but they're scared to say anything. And, goes on, and it hurts the left. And I agree. I think that's what blows life into Trump, is the whole PC, cancel, Me Too, taken to the nth degree, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized the Grammys are on.
Yeah, all the pre-show stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything on the pre-show that's worth
it? Well, they're talking to a lot of celebrities, and I think they are talking about Kobe quite a bit.
Trump has updated his tweet eulogy about Kobe.
Yeah.
Because earlier he just basically said it in terrible news. So now he has a better one. Which, you know, it's a fair, nice eulogy.
I don't know what to say.
Kobe Bryant, despite being one of the truly great basketball players over time, was just getting started in life.
I guess he was very busy with a lot of projects.
With Kobe Inc. That was his company.
What I was going to say, though, was they had a pre-Grammy show on Thursday or Wednesday, maybe, on channel, is this ABC?
On CBS.
Or CBS. Yeah. It was on CBS.
Yeah.
And they're doing features on Billie Eilish and Lizzo and, mm-hmm. you know, some of the people that are getting all the nominations. And what was really strange is they were discussing that Billie Eilish, you know, she had Tourette's and she has a terrible body image. So she wears baggy clothes, and which, I mean, I guess because you want to talk about this person that's so beloved that everybody wants to know anything they can. But they go on to say that a lot of her audience has body shaming issues or body image issues. And I was thinking about it because they were saying the same thing about Lizzo, that, you know, she attracts a lot of people that are, you know, heavier set people that have, you know, think her body image is so positive. And it's like music is the last thing anyone cares about anymore.
I was just going to say,
isn't that weird?
Can musicians stop just appearing?
Because honestly,
we have a group like the Gorillaz again where you don't know who it is or what they look like.
I've never cared what a musician looked like. No. If what I hear in my ears is good, and, you know, I don't know what to make of it, honestly. I think it's totally bizarre because I don't want to listen to a song that isn't pleasing to my ears. I don't care who does it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's my doppelganger. If it sucks, it sucks.
Yeah.
I can't imagine listening to someone because I like their political views or because, you know,
well, and conversely,
they have the same problems I have.
Yeah.
It's so strange to me.
You can separate the art from the artist. Just like that R. Kelly guy, great songs.
Well, it's essentially the art doesn't matter. It's the artist.
No, I know.
It's all about the artist.
I know.
That's weird. Really weird.
This is not about music!
We 2 hours in, Brandon?
Yes, sir.
We haven't 2 hours exactly?
2 hours exactly.
Oh, we even really?
Mentioned one of the craziest stories, which is the Andy Dick story over the weekend.
It's true.
And I don't know if that guy is alive or not, but a guy went into Andy Dick has an art gallery?
Well, that's where he's been living. So there's the art gallery, and then above it, that's the apartment that we always see him in on Cameo.
That's why there's so many people there every time we call, too.
He told us that he's been staying there.
I didn't realize he was running it, though. I mean, it looked like he was running.
He is.
But he's doing stand-up. I mean, he's actually, I don't know, he seems more productive than I thought.
There's always something
anyway,
going around
here. He's just manning the art gallery, and some guy walks in and shoots himself in the head.
They're saying accidentally, too.
Yeah.
I guess he was out in front walking around Hollywood, like, brandishing his gun. And then he walked in there and probably brandishing it and then shot himself in the head.
For all the madness that Andy Dick attracts or has participated in, it sure seems like a lot of it just comes to him, too. I mean, it's not.
Well, this
it's
has like nothing it, to do with like, him, really, yeah.
No, it's just a happenstance. And he was, you know, beside himself.
See the
video?
Yeah,
the video. Oof.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. And, you know, he was obviously completely devastated by it. But, you know, between that and him getting punched, I mean, he got slammed to the concrete in New Orleans.
And we've also seen the other video of him wrestling the pizza guy or whatever for the pizza, and that guy just slammed him hard.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
boy. Yeah, and there was also news, as there is news every second, out of England, and I don't know, there were two really weird things that I read over the weekend. One was that the Queen, apparently before Meghan and Harry got married, suggested, because apparently there's been whispers that Harry's not comfortable or something. She said, listen, you want to make movies? You want to do whatever you want? You know, you don't have to be part of this. You're free to do whatever you want. And Meghan said, nope. I want to be part of this royal family. And 8 days later, she had... What was this?
Never mind.
No, 8 days later, she had started something in the United States, a foundation or she'd started something. It was like, wait a second. And also, did you see the story that Meghan Markle wants to intervene in the U.S. elections?
Yeah, she wants to be politically engaged. That was the story I saw. The Duchess is said to be frustrated that she was forced to stay out of politics after getting engaged to Harry. I don't think anybody forces her to do anything. She has strong political opinions.
I don't know
opinions.
How she could be hated any more than she is already. I cannot believe how negative the comments are about her every time she opens her mouth. she also, in that story, they said that she's talked a lot about wanting to be president.
Oh, please, please run. Please
run. Wouldn't that be great? I would love that.
She really cares about her privacy so much.
And watch, she'll get she'll get enough percent. I know, she really cares about her privacy. I know, that's what's so funny about it. It's like, wait, if you're going to intervene in the election, you're going to get so much shit, honey. You know, either you're going to have, maybe, I'm assuming she's for a Democrat, the entire right is just going to wail on her.
Maybe this is the only way she can get her security paid for free, is by running for president.
That could be. That's a good
point. Someone has to pay her, since she needs security, but she doesn't want to pay for it.
She doesn't need security. You know what? If those two want to just be rich people,
they could
living,
easily.
easily. Another thing about them was just so
funny.
You
see more of them now that they're in Canada than when they were in England.
And they're out in public. And she made this fake event when she got to Canada. She called some women's center.
Shelter, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we're not really doing anything. And she said, well, I just want to help and meet with you or something. And so she goes over there. They do a photo op. And then, you know, she doesn't even tour the place.
Nope.
So what the fuck is that?
Her being phony and fake.
Yeah, her wanting to have her picture in the paper.
No, she wants
but control
publicity.
It.
Yeah, she wants publicity when it's beneficial for her.
Well, Diana was the same way.
Yeah.
And also the land they're staying on in this temporary living arrangement in Canada, somebody from, I think it's a tribe, has spoken out and said, they're living on stolen land from indigenous people.
Come on, they're former royals. That's their MO, my man.
That's, you know, normally I go, oh my God, what are you going to do? But I was like, yeah, get off that land. And then also Charles, I mean, you'd almost think they're all doing this to get attention off of Prince Andrew because it never stops. Charles has flown 16,000 miles on private jets in the last 10 days. And at the end of that 16,000 miles is when he met with Greta Thunberg, and they had some friendly chat.
You are failing us.
And took pictures. God, I love her drops. And
how
like,
dare you?
So apparently everyone but Prince Charles is supposed to do better.
I should be back in school.
Oh, boy. And
we
then,
will never forgive you.
And then at the bottom.
I was
know,
outraged.
Like who's it's just kind of addendum to other royal news is the story that Prince Andrew's guard, his personal guard, or one of his personal guards during this period, said that Ghislaine Maxwell would visit him up to four times a day sometimes, and she wasn't signing in either.
Yep.
What's that mean?
Is anybody surprised by that?
No. I just wonder what it means.
Damage control?
Four times a day. He's talking about back in the day.
Oh, back in the day.
Yeah. And by the way, way back in the day, way before he ever acknowledges meeting any of these people.
She also, there's a story about her email getting hacked.
Oh.
Which I don't. Oh. Although when you dig deep in the story, it's her people saying it. So I'm like, is this some kind of weird sympathy or are they just afraid of what's going to come out? So they're going to claim that it was hacked and obtained illegally.
That's smart.
I suppose.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. You want to hit the outro, Brandon? And I'll mention that we've got some exciting stuff coming up. Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Castle.
Yeah.
We had him on last year. He's really one of my
favorites. He was really good last year.
He was. I can't think of many people I enjoyed having on more, although Steve Gorman was great.
Mm-hmm. And Wednesday, we're going to have Nikki Glaser on.
She's on Wednesday. Okay, then I'm going to move WATP. Carl from Who Are These Podcasts is going to be on this week.
Oh, okay, great.
And they got, oh my God.
Is he going to do Rudy? is he going to do Rudy Giuliani's new podcast?
He has a podcast?
Yeah, just started on. Yeah. On Friday called Common Sense.
Oh, God. Is he going to participate in this impeachment Senate part?
That's what he's talking about, yeah. But he's just a private citizen, so.
I wonder, you know, that podcast will probably blow up, won't it?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people listen to it.
Okay, Yeah, I don't, you know, it depends. It's got to have entertainment value. They're doing one on this bizarre podcast this week that is into, they're teaching people how to storytell, which I thought, you know, there's a podcast about everything. So that doesn't surprise me. What surprised me is they have these you know, these classes where you pay $150 for two classes to learn how to tell stories or to be a better party guest or whatever.
Who was that podcast? Remember that was the son of the guy, son of the lady that did Time's Up. Remember his terrible podcast?
Oh, yeah.
They've got to do that one.
That's a great idea.
Oh, I got to look it up.
I'm telling you, there's 50 podcasts I could think of almost off the top of my head for Carl to do, but he's gonna have some clips, and we're going to talk about what they're doing, and they get a lot of shit, too. But a lot of people are listening, so, yeah, who are these podcasts? Fun to listen. If you like hearing shows get wrecked, see you tomorrow.
Kobe!